93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Monday, April 9th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Norristown is expected to be the center of attention today with opening statements in Bill Cosby's sexual assault retrial set for Monday. Prosecutors have lined up a parade of accusers to make the case that the man revered as America's dad lived a double life as one of Hollywood's biggest predators. Cosby's retrial likely won't be anything like the first one. He's fighting back with a new high-profile lawyer and an aggressive strategy attacking Andrea Constand as a greedy liar and casting the other women testifying as bandwagon accusers looking for a share of the spotlight. The defense filed a motion late Friday to have one of the jurors removed from the case. A woman who was in the pool of people interviewed but not chosen said that she heard juror number 11 say something along the lines of, "I think he's guilty, so let's get this over with." Juror number 11 is a white male in his 20s. If he's removed, an alternate, a black man in his 40s, will take his place. Cosby's first trial last spring ended in a cliffhanger with jurors unable to reach a unanimous verdict after 5 days of tense deliberations. The 80-year-old comedian, who has said the sexual contact was consensual, faces 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault, each punishable by up to 10 years in prison. His retrial is taking place in a radically changed and potentially more hostile environment. The Me Too movement caught fire 4 months after his first trial, raising awareness of sexual misconduct. Nearly every potential juror questioned for the case this time knew about the Me Too.
Any guess as to how you think this one's going to play out?
God, who knows?
I don't know.
Who
dude.
Knows?
He is being aggressive, though. I mean, his legal defense team is being much more aggressive. He showed up to court wearing a sweater that said, "Bring it on, bitches."
Bring it on, bitch.
I thought it was, wow, that is very antagonistic.
We'll get
sending
some,
a message.
Yeah, he's sending a message.
We'll get some more information, though. So the judge this time is allowing Cosby's legal team to call as a witness a former coworker of Constance at Temple University who said that Constance spoke about setting up a high-profile person so that she could sue and enjoy a big payday. The judge also decided the jury can hear the answer to one of the biggest questions hanging over the case: how much did Cosby pay Constance to settle her lawsuit against him more than a decade ago? So we'll get some of those questions
it's
answered.
Interesting, yeah. Yeah, I'll be curious to hear that myself.
Yeah.
When you log on to Facebook today, look out for a message. Starting today, the 87 million users who might have had their data shared with Cambridge Analytica will be a detailed message on their news feeds. Facebook says most of the affected users, more than 70 million, are in the United States, though there are over 1 million each in the Philippines, Indonesia, and the UK. In addition, all 2.2 billion Facebook users will receive a notice titled "Protecting Your Information" with a link to see what apps they use and what information they have shared with those apps. If they want, they can shut off the apps individually or turn off third-party access to their apps completely.
I don't know. As a kid, I was always taught that sharing was good.
Yeah. Reeling from its worst privacy crisis in history, allegations that this Trump-affiliated data mining firm may have used ill-gotten user data to try to influence the election. Facebook is in full damage control mode. CEO Mark Zuckerberg acknowledged that he made a huge mistake in failing to take a broad enough view of what Facebook's responsibility is in the world. He's set to testify before Congress next week.
If you're on social media, if you're on Facebook or Twitter or anything, you just accept the fact that your data, all of that, is going to go to someone somewhere, and that's part of the deal. In fact, they're going to get it somehow. So, it's when people think they're posting pictures and that they're theirs, no. Facebook owns them, Twitter owns them.
These apps, it will prompt you to, you have to like sign up and you've got to sign up through Facebook and all of that. It's like
no one reads all the fine print though, you know?
So this one, I never do those. Yeah. Like I don't. But this one was one of those, it was like a personality test. So you had to sign up, you took the personality test. But what happens is it didn't just open it up to the person that signed up, it opened it up to all of that person's friends.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying? So even though I didn't take it, they may have my information.
Yeah, Kathy, I'm with you. When you see those, sign up through Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't do it. I just don't do it.
I know.
Yep.
It's just so much easier, though. You just click that.
Oh, I never do it. But I haven't been on Facebook proper in a couple of years now.
I go every day. Did you guys see Saturday Night Live on Saturday? Obviously on Saturday.
It's on Saturday.
They did a Mark Zuckerberg sort of thing on Weekend Update.
And was it good?
He laughs. And it sounds like Pat Schmidt. He goes,
grab some audio if we can. Yeah.
Wait, is that his real laugh? Or
I don't
his laugh
know.
In the...
But he says something that cracks himself up, and he goes.
Zuckerberg looks like he's 9 years old.
Oh, my God, still, right?
When he goes up to Capitol Hill, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
All right, so look for a message on Facebook when you log on today. The Russian and Syrian military on Monday said Israeli warplanes carried out missile strikes on the Syrian airbase hours after U.S. President Donald Trump warned of a big price to pay following reports of a poison gas attack on the rebel-held town. Syrian state TV initially said the United States was suspected of carrying out the missile attack on the T4 airfield after harsh words by Trump over the reported chemical attack on Saturday. The United States denied attacking the Syria base, and France also said its forces had not carried it out. The Russian military, whose forces are supported by Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, said two Israeli F-15 warplanes had carried out the strikes on the Syrian T4 airbase. Interfax news agency cited the Russian Defense Ministry as saying the Israeli warplanes had carried out the strikes from Lebanese airspace and that Syrian air defense systems had shot down 5 of 8 missiles fired. When asked about the explosions from the airbase, an Israeli spokeswoman declined to comment. In sports this morning,
ball sacks are yummy.
The Sixers won again, beating the Dallas Mavericks 109-97 yesterday afternoon.
Wow.
J.J. Redick scored 18 points, and the team matched a franchise record with their 14th straight victory. 2 years after going 10-72, the Sixers improved to 50-30 and clinched home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. It's the team's first 50-win season since Allen Iverson's 2001 team, which lost in the finals. The only other time the Sixers won 14 straight in a single season, Dr. J and Moses Malone brought the team and the city its last NBA title in 1983.
It's just amazing.
They have only 2 games left in the regular season, including a game tomorrow night in Atlanta against the Hawks. Jake Arrieta lasted just 4 innings in his first start for the Phillies as they lost 6-3 to the Miami Marlins on Brian Anderson's tie-breaking 2-run double in the 8th inning. Arrieta was charged with 3 runs and 3 hits while striking out 5. He surrendered a solo homer to Miguel Rojas, the second batter he faced. Arrieta, who won the 2015 National League Cy Young Award when he was with the Cubs, joined the Phillies a month into spring training, signing a $75 million 3-year deal. They're at home again tonight as they open up a 3-game series against the Cincinnati Reds. Ben Lively gets the start, and game time is at 7:05. Patrick Reed is a major champion and the proud owner of a new green jacket. Reed, who began yesterday with a 3-shot lead on Rory McIlroy, held on throughout the final round to win the Masters, stopping challenges from Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth. It's the first major title for Reed, who shot a final round 71 to finish at 15 under par. Reed is the 4th consecutive first-time major champ at the Masters. Fowler shot a final round 67 to finish at 14 under, and Spieth, who began the day 9 shots back, briefly shared the lead late in his round, firing a final round 64 and finishing 3rd at 13 under. The Flyers, who scored 5 goals and shut out the New York Rangers on Saturday afternoon to clinch a spot in the playoffs, will face the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round. Game 1 is set for Wednesday at 7 o'clock in Pittsburgh. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
All right.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Welcome back from the weekend, folks. We begin anew. We have a blank slate all set to go this week.
All ready to screw it all up again.
In fact, we have a blank slate period today because nobody's on the show with us. So
that's canceled.
You know what? No, it's good. It's good because it's about you. It's about us and our wonderful relationship that we have.
Is it about quality
that's
time?
What today is all about.
It's going to be an intimate relationship today.
I think we've been neglecting each other, and it's time to make it right.
It's time. Yeah. We should talk.
You know, guys, I've never been to me.
Yeah, I know.
I think today is that day.
I've been to you, which
Casey,
is odd.
Today, you got a one-way ticket to you.
Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly it. So.
Yeah.
But we do
this
have a lot.
This is getting weird.
I know. Well, we can go deeper into this. We'll open up the phones for a sit therapy session later. By the way, new character for me, the therapist.
The therapist.
All right.
We'll do that
the
today.
Therapist.
Actually, we have a lot of really good things. We have a trip for two to Las Vegas, folks, that we are giving away for the Word of the Week prize, and it is to experience Fear the Walking Dead Survival, which is this new thrill attraction that they have in Vegas.
We hear it's awesome.
Yeah, so we'll do 2 nights hotel, airfare, ground transportation in Vegas, and 2 passes for Fear the Walking Dead.
And they have gambling out there now.
Yeah. Really? It's all
catching
the rage.
On.
All the rage. So we'll give that away on Friday, but you're going to need the letter each day this week. So we'll do that coming up at the end of the program. Now, between now and then, we'll have a chance for you to win $1,000 in cash. This is week number two for MMR's birthday bucks. So yet another grand at 8 a.m. We will give you a special word with a special number to text it into. And that's all you got to do. And then you sit back and you wait for the money to roll in. So get yourself set. It's close to 8 a.m. We will do that. We also have an announcement coming up at the end of the show with Pierre about an event, first time for MMR, that I think you may be very happy to hear about.
Yeah.
So we'll get those details a little bit later on today. Free Music Monday as well, so have some giveaways in conjunction with that. And we have another announcement in the middle of the show today that I think you're going to want to save the date for. So that is coming up, and I'll take a look at our prize situation and see what all we have to give away this week, too. So I'm sure we got some stuff. So let's go ahead and take a break. Come back in a second. I have a lot of entertainment stories I'd like to run by you, as well as a stupid question when we return. So we'll break. We'll come back. We'll get to that and get this Monday started together. Back in a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love diamond engagement ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, thanks, Kat. So, stupid question this morning. We are going to give away, you are so lucky. We have a Ready Player One book, audio book, and a pair of Fandango Run of Engagement passes to see Ready Player One, which is in theaters now. So, the question that I have for you is, what children's nursery rhyme slash song includes the lyric, give a dog a bone?
Give a dog a bone.
215-263-WMMR is the number. So, what children's song or poem or nursery rhyme or whatever you want to call it includes the line, give a dog a bone, 215-263-WMMR. Today is Monday, April 9th. We'll go through birthdays while we're waiting for your phone calls. It's Kristen Stewart's birthday today.
Love Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, she's 28 years old today. What has she been up to?
Hanging out with her lesbian girlfriend, hasn't she?
She's been on the Skin List, Mr. Skin List.
I meant
couple
work,
of times.
Work-wise, yeah. What has she been up to?
That's what I mean. Like, so she's been in some movies.
A lot of indie films, a lot of nudity, yes. Mm-hmm. For some reason, as of late, I've been finding her very sexy. Mm. I always thought she was attractive.
Yep.
But now I think she's very sexy.
But now sexy.
She has now moved into sexydom.
Okay. So she's 28 years old today. Gerard Way, former lead singer of My Chemical Romance, is celebrating his 41st birthday today.
Like this song, but it's a depressing song.
Welcome to the Black Parade.
Like, Dad, can I just enjoy the goddamn parade?
Yeah, it's a
story. You're bringing me down.
About when they were at a parade and his dad told him that, you know, one day you're going to die.
Thanks. Can I have some popcorn?
Yeah, something.
Still waiting on some cotton candy.
But I think it may have been a true, you know, from his own experience.
Really?
That his dad may have told, let him know about at some point.
That's
at
a parade.
So he's 41 today. Cynthia Nixon is 52, Sex and the City. She's running for governor of New York.
Yes.
She's going to go for it.
She's already started, her and Cuomo have started battling back and forth already.
Yeah, so she's going to hit the campaign trail and make a run at it. So we'll see what ends up happening. You know what? I had kind of a little bit of a crush on her when she was a kid, when she was a teenage actress. It was a movie called Little Darling.
Yes.
That she was in. And
she's the nerd.
Tatum O'Neal. No, she's the hippie child.
The hippie child, yeah.
Yeah. So her name was Sunshine in the movie. Right. I loved it. And she was in it, and Tatum O'Neal was in it. And
Armand DeSante.
He was, that is correct. And but no, who's the girl who was, she played kind of a tomboy in the movie.
Oh, not Jodie. Oh, I know who you're talking about. Damn it, I can't believe I'm having a...
You know exactly who
yes,
I'm talking about.
Yes,
she was on Life on that TV show.
Chrissy McNichol.
Thank you. Very good. So anyhow, Cynthia Nixon was in that. She's and she was just a teenager. She was like 13 years old.
And she was in Preston, Nick?
Baby's Day Out.
Oh, yes. The Academy Award winning film.
She's 52 today. Paulina Porizkova, the supermodel, actress, and wife of the Cars' Rick Ocasek. They've been together for a long time.
Forever.
Yeah, she's 53 years old today.
They both appeared together in the movie Hairspray. They're a kind of a weird beatnik couple.
Are they?
Yes.
In the original movie?
In the original John Waters movie,
no
yeah.
No kidding. I didn't know that. Dennis Quaid, just talking about him last week. I always get him mixed up with Kurt Russell for no reason whatsoever. They don't even look like each other.
I have similar things. There was just a picture of him, Preston. Dennis Quaid, what is he, in his 60s? How old is he?
64.
64, on the beach. This son of a bitch
yeah.
is more ripped than ever.
When the movie Soul Surfer came out, I don't know, four, five, 6 years ago, and has his shirt off through a lot of the scenes in the movie. He's like a surf dad.
Like his freaking 20s.
Guy's in phenomenal shape.
Stop it!
Yeah. We had him in studio for that football movie, and what I remember about his visit was him just leaning over Kathy's shoulder and being fascinated by her traffic screen.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But he's just one of those guys, worked forever, and been in a lot of great movies like The Right Stuff and The Rookie and...
Inner Space.
Inner Space is a great movie.
Yeah. I love that movie.
It's funny. You know what? In fact, his character has a line in that. I used to say it all the time that I thought was great. You know, when things are at their darkest, it's a brave man that can kick back and party.
Yeah.
I always love that line.
It's a fun movie.
Dennis Quaid is 64 today. The adorable Elle Fanning is 20 years old today. She is the sister of Dakota Fanning, and you know her from movies like Maleficent.
Just on yesterday, Maleficent, and I love it.
We watched a couple of weeks ago, We Bought a Zoo, which is a fun little family movie. Actually, it's kind of... There's a lot of heart-tugging moments in that movie.
Yeah.
So maybe not a fun. I mean, there's animals and everything.
That's
but
fun.
That's
when
the fun
wildebeest
part.
Gets whooping cough.
Well, yes. But, she's adorable. I think she's going to be a bit of a star. She's 20 years old today. And the last birthday, another in-studio guest we have before. Love this guy, Jay Baruchel.
Yes.
Tropic Thunder, She's Out of My League. What is this? The End? Was that the one?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's a wonderful... I can't help but think about that scene in Tropic Thunder when they're marching along. And he's talking. And I forget who says, because you talking to me? You still talking?
You've been talking to me this whole time?
He's just great.
That was Robert Downey Jr.'s character. Yeah. How to Train Your Dragon, The Sorcerer's Apprentice. He is 36 years old today. All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this question in the what nursery rhyme do you hear the line, give a dog a bone? 215-263-WMMR, and I will go to Janet. Hey, Janet.
Hey, Preston.
Hey, Janet. So what nursery rhyme or song do you hear, give a dog a bone?
This Old Man.
This Old Man. With a knick-knack paddywhack.
Give a dog a bone.
Hang on a second, Janet. We are going to give you a Ready Player One book, a Ready Player One audiobook, and a pair of Fandango Run of Engagement passes to see Ready Player One, which is in theaters now. At the box office, speaking of movies, A Quiet Place did really, really well, as you would expect. $50.4 million for a number one spot.
That's amazing because the budget, there you go. Another example, like with Get Out, it has a very low budget. It's, you know, so the profit margin's huge.
I think I want to go see this. Anybody know the rating offhand?
I think it's the Rotten Tomatoes.
No.
I think it's PG.
Okay.
But it's getting, you know, obviously.
I would imagine it's at least PG-13, but that's just a guess. But,
PG-13.
Yeah,
PG-13. Yeah. I'd want to see it in an early screening at a matinee when the theater's not too crowded, because you got to have it quiet. You have to have it absolutely silent.
Ready Player One was second, followed by Blockers, Black Panther, I Can Only Imagine, Tyler Perry's Acrimony at number six, followed by Chappaquiddick, Sherlock Gnomes, Pacific Rim, Uprising, and Isle of Dogs to round out the top 10. Let's see. Kathy already mentioned this in news, but I'll touch on it again real quick. Bill Cosby's legal team filed a surprise motion on Friday requesting that one juror be removed from the case, claiming that it was overheard saying that the disgraced comedian was guilty, according to Page Six. And that's the thing. So a juror who was not selected reached out to the defense to tell them that she overheard juror number 11 say, "I just think he's guilty."
Which it's fine if you think that, you just can't say it out loud.
Yes,
because it will influence other jury members, or can influence other jury members, and that's the whole reason behind that.
And that's supposedly what they're going to do. So they want this guy removed, and then they want to question all the other jurors to say, did his comments influence you in any way?
Yeah, that's the thing. So they should remove this person because that breaks the rules of what you were supposed to stay under as a juror.
You're supposed to try your best to remain unbiased, and you know,
right.
You can only do so much, but you're not supposed to share opinions.
That's the thing. Yeah, I told you guys when we were in this jury, I was in the jury, and for 3 days we had to go on our breaks and sit in this room, and every single time the judge said, you can't speak about the case at all. So you just have to find other things to talk about. And if you're overheard saying something like that, this other person did the right thing.
Yes.
By telling, because you're instructed by the court and you take an oath.
The guy was referring to Cosby as Guilty Giltenstein. And that's that you can't have that.
Justice Stephen O'Neill has not yet ruled on the request. 7 men and 5 women were picked to serve on the retrial. So, yeah, I'm sure they'll ask the rest of the jury members, did this influence you? And if you know, the answer yes, and they'll be taken out. And if not, they can continue on.
So. But I guess they already have alternates set in place. So
absolutely.
I don't think it'll delay the trial too much.
No.
To be honest, your perfect jury would be comprised of people who have had significant head trauma. Because right, just to form any opinion at all would be difficult.
Well, what man cave couldn't benefit from a used leather jock strap? More than 5 years after splitting from his wife, Danielle Spencer of 9 years, Russell Crowe marked the end of his marriage with a rousing auction that he dubbed the Art of Divorce. The event also marked his 54th birthday and his wedding anniversary. It was held in Sydney, Australia by Christie's Australia Saturday night, and the event was a big success.
I find this whole thing very funny.
He sold off 200 items belonging to him, including art, movie memorabilia, and furniture. Ultimately, the evening earned about $3.7 million.
Holy crap. What did the jock fetch?
The leather jock strap from his 2000 film Cinderella Man scored $7,000. Brown Doc Martin boots from his 1992 film Romper Stomper nabbed $10,000. His famous gladiator breastplate earned $125,000.
Nice.
But even more so than that, which I was kind of surprised, the violin that he plays in Master and Commander,
yeah,
$135,000.
Wow.
Yeah, so
that's a great movie.
It was a big success for him. 3.7. That is a great movie.
They were supposed to continue that series.
Yeah, because it was called Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World,
yeah,
which leads you to believe there might be another title underneath that Master and Commander.
Right.
This side of the world. Yeah. Or over here.
Over here.
Something like that.
Where we started.
Yeah.
Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore.
He and Paul Bettany learned how to play those instruments. They weren't, I don't know if those were the actual recordings, but in order for it to look real and sound real, they learned how to play violin and, was it cello? Or
yeah, it was cello.
Yeah.
I believe, yeah, I could
cello.
See that. He already played guitar, so, you know, wasn't too far to play a string instrument for him. So, but anyway, that went for $135,000, that violin alone.
That's the way to move product.
Never afraid to shatter Hollywood stereotypes, John Krasinski shared the inauspicious beginnings to his happy partnership with Emily Blunt on the Graham Norton Show on Friday. Blunt was by his side as the pair promoted their new film, A Quiet Place, of course, which was number one over the weekend. And they both star in, and he directed it. He revealed that he nurtured an obsession with Anne Hathaway and Blunt while watching reruns of The Devil Wears Prada, because they're both in that movie.
We can commiserate. We're both huge fans of this movie.
Yeah, and that's where Emily Blunt first came to my attention. She's gorgeous in that movie.
Unbelievable.
She plays a real bitch and a half, though.
Yeah.
But she looks fantastic. But he said there's a sort of montage sequence where this is Emily Blunt saying this. She said, there's a sort of montage sequence where Anne Hathaway's got numerous fabulous outfits that they go through. And John, one day I came home and he was watching it and he was watching the montage bit and he goes, that's my favorite outfit. Krasinski then teased Blunt about wanting to date Hathaway, saying, I couldn't get Anne. And so I was like, oh, okay. So they dated her. But, so number one for both these guys at the box office. That's pretty cool, man. Good for them. After 3 years of marriage, Jeannie Garth, her husband, David Abrams, the two of them have filed for divorce.
What's going wrong? What's wrong with Jeannie Garth these days?
Yeah.
Kathy, she can't find happiness.
I know, seriously.
The 36-year-old filed Friday in L.A., citing irreconcilable differences, according to court documents obtained by The Blast.
Did they say all that usual crap about how they'll stay in love, and this is really still about love? And
nothing on
still
that.
Love, or we hate each other's guts?
No, their date of separation is listed as August 29th. The actress shares daughters Luca, who is 20, Lola, who is 15, and Fiona, who is 11, with her ex-husband, Peter Fasianelli.
I know why they broke up, because the guy's actually Tom Skiffington, who was using an alias.
Oh.
Look at the picture, Preston.
Yeah, wow. He's got the stash.
Yeah.
Yep. The pair split in 2012 after 11 years of marriage. This was her, the other guy, the Peter Fasianelli.
Yeah.
This will be her third divorce.
So yeah.
She hasn't had a good run.
Unlucky at love.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's stay in the divorce range for a little here. Trouble has been brewing between Kendra Wilkinson and Hank Baskett, of course.
It's just ripping my heart out, this separation.
With much of their relationship drama spilling into Wilkinson's social media feeds. And according to The Blast, she has formally filed for divorce from Baskett and is requesting joint custody of their two children.
What, is she Zoom.com or did she actually have a lawyer?
I don't know. They married in 2009. Wilkinson shared a shot of herself doing a shot on Instagram stories after filing for divorce, captioning it, LOL drunk bunny gamer with crying laughing emoji faces.
So she's really devastated by it.
Drunk bunny gamer? Drunk
bunny gamer.
Whatever.
She cannot go 5 minutes without having a camera trained on her.
I believe it. Yeah, so she's
officially... Let it go. Filed. Take a little time, right?
Filed for divorce. Yes, exactly. Nick, there's a picture on on her Instagram account. Who is that Hank?
That's Hank, yeah. And she has not yet changed her name on Instagram. Excuse me, from Baskett. It's still Kendra Wilkinson Basket.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, she said, well, here's what she posted. Listen to this. I'm just pulling this up. Today is the last day of marriage to this beautiful man.
Ah, knock it off.
I will forever love Hank and be open, but for now, we have chosen to go our own ways. I'm beyond sad and heartbroken because I did believe in forever. That's why I said yes, but unfortunately, too much fear has gotten in the way.
Oh, my God.
And one transvestite or whatever.
Listen to this. We are both amazing parents, and our kids will be happy and never know the difference other than seeing mama
as
smile.
Parents, we're amazeballs.
Yeah, right.
Totally amazeballs as parents.
I mean, that's weird. Who posts a picture of the person that's a loving picture of the person you're divorcing?
And this is her. The picture is her caressing his face, and she's got the engagement ring on. And she loves him.
He's totally amazeballs.
I mean, unless she really is heartbroken, then I feel bad for her.
She wrote, "Sometimes love looks funny."
This looks really funny.
We're told to make sacrifices in life. If it's true love, well, in this case, it's me. I want to see.
It's not you, it's me.
I want to see Happy Hank again. I miss that.
Happy Hank? Is that what she calls his penis?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, she misses that.
I miss Happy Hank.
Marriage was just a piece of paper and a piece of jewelry, but our hearts will always be real. You will prob see us together a lot.
Amazeball.
Prob. Can write probably.
You will prob see us.
She doesn't ask spell it.
Together right. A lot.
Probably.
She probably.
It's
probably.
B-R-B-L-E-E. Yeah. Probably.
But it's because there's no hate, she says.
No hate.
There's no hate. Only love.
Love wins in this case. It just looks a little funny.
Looks like complete hatred.
Thank you, Hank, for a beautiful 8 years of marriage and two beautiful kids. I feel so thankful and blessed. What is this? What is this?
It's a call for attention. Pay attention to me.
Have some decency and act like you're angry with each other.
Right.
Ooh, let me see what the comments say.
Seriously?
Just a couple.
You two are amazeballs. Yeah. Scroll down if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. Heartbreaking. Everyone is scared of manning up and committing that's the problem. No, not fair, but sometimes it is for the best. Love you guys.
Who's,
she's getting a spinoff show now.
I like this one. From Stephen Miller 818?
Yeah, I'm going to skip that.
Okay.
So sad about it. Think twice before your kids will be in a tornado. What?
What tornado?
He's right. So sad. Think twice before your kids will be in a tornado. They live in Nebraska. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
Tornado Alley.
We're in the spring.
Yeah.
We're in tornado season, so.
You know, on the Fujita scale, there, things get dicey.
Okay.
They were actually both. I think what happened was is that they were spending so much time in their storm chasing vehicle
that they got on each other's nerves.
Well, oh, and one of those guys was in the corporate team, Steve, right. And the other guy
Kendra
was
totally, you know, grassroots, and Hank was corporate meteorologist.
Right.
All right, so anyway, they filed for divorce. Or she did, anyway.
That's great news.
Hey, a little more than 4 months before Johnny Depp is set to go on trial against his former business managers, the management group, with $25 million at stake, the star's lawyers dropped him, Deadline reports.
Johnny Depp's lawyers dropped him?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Depp is...
I don't need you, Jacobian Myers.
Depp is set to give a sworn deposition in early May. Could you imagine sitting through a deposition with Johnny Depp? Steve and I have been in a deposition. It's the most boring, laborious process you could ever go through. And add Johnny Depp's pentameter to that.
Holy crap. You cut your... It'll look like there was a gas leak in the building.
The guy asking the questions is going to be asleep. So managing partner...
Am I wearing you down?
Managing partner Mona Hanna...
Hey, Mina Hinna.
It's Mona Hanna.
Mona Hanna.
Mona Hanna.
Mina Hinna.
Hinna Mana.
Hinna
Mana. Mana Mana. Mana Mana. Mana Mana. Do. So anyhow, managing partner Moana Hanna.
Yeah, no, you're Moana Hanna.
Of Irvine.
Of Irvine.
California.
California.
Based. Mike.
I did it.
Mickelman and Robinson has taken over for...
Nickelback and Flabellum.
Monat Phelps and Phillips. Monat Phelps and Phillips LLP.
If I may add...
Oh, boy. That deposition stuff. Oh, my God.
Deposition.
It's time for a deposition.
To be determined is how this will affect the trial, which has an August 15th start date. It's a little ways off, but they're bailing on him.
Here's where he has an issue, because he is a spending maniac. It does look as if the people who are handling his finances did do some nefarious stuff. So I don't know. I don't know who's writing this.
Yeah. In fact, Nick is scrolling through his IMDb stuff. The next up will be the Harry Potter film, which is the...
It's Harry Potter.
Crimes of Grindelwald.
Grins of Gimbadib.
That's the one.
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
What you mean? The new film, Crimes of Dibbadib.
Yeah, he makes a little cameo at the end of the...
That's right.
The last one.
Yeah.
In the tube.
Yeah.
Right. I wonder how much he got paid for this. I mean, if he's having financial issues...
It was $50 billion.
Was it? Okay.
I'm not good with money.
All right. That's why you've got an issue.
I just made $50 billion.
I can't afford that.
No, you did not. You made $5 million.
Sure. All right,
so, the crimes of Grindelwald.
What's the difference?
It's a lot of money.
There's a big difference between $5 million and $50 billion, says you.
The Terminator is on the men 1 week after emergency heart surgery. Arnold Schwarzenegger has returned home. And according to the spokesperson, the 70-year-old's first words after the procedure was, "I'm back." So there, he's good to go.
I'm home, everyone.
Yep.
What's on Netflix?
Hey, Molly Ringwald, star of teenage classics of yore, The Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink, revisited that era and her overwhelming sense of discomfort with it in an essay for The New Yorker. She's now 50 years old, and she described how she has reevaluated the cult 1980s films that she starred in the wake of the Me Too era after her 10-year-old daughter asked to watch The Breakfast Club. 10 years old is a tad bit young to be watching The Breakfast Club.
I agree. I think that's weird.
Yeah, because there's a lot of sex conversation.
Yeah.
There's some drug usage, and obviously there's curses and so on and so forth, but... She had said...
Forget you.
She said, yeah, right? Unless you watch the
end. Yeah, just watch it.
Forget you, Dad. No, Dad, forget you. She said, I worried that she would find aspects of it troubling, but I hadn't anticipated that it would ultimately be most troubling to me. The film, of course, directed by John Hughes, was a huge critical and commercial hit and tells the story of five teens from different backgrounds forced to spend a Saturday together in detention. Could be my all-time favorite movie, just because
Such
it speaks to my... It came out the year that I was a senior in high school, and so it's all that stuff that was going on then, me personally, I saw reflected in a lot of these characters, so it really speaks to me.
Exactly right. So in the context of that time, the time in which it took place,
sure.
This is the kind of things that occurred.
Sure.
So, but you can't hold the past. You know, in a lot of pop culture cases, you can't hold this up to current standards.
But you can look back and go, "Wow, okay, that's what we were like back then."
And
you know
what
I mean?
Yes, you can do that. But some people. I was reading the comments section on one of the articles pertaining to this, and people were jumping all over John Hughes. It's like, no, it was of a time.
It was of a time. It's not to say that time was perfect or anything, but it's just, and we will probably, and a lot of people will probably look back on our time now and say the same damn thing 30 years from now.
But you have to accommodate also the fact that the good these films did, because they tapped into an audience and a sensibility that wasn't being addressed.
Yep, exactly.
Shut up!
You can't overlook that. So in her essay, Ringwald said one scene haunted her after a number of women came forward with sexual assault accusations against Harvey Weinstein and the Me Too movement gathered steam. But she had said that at one point in the film, the bad boy character John Bender ducks under the table where my character Claire is sitting to hide from a teacher. While there, he takes an opportunity to peek under Claire's skirt. And though the audience doesn't see, it is implied that he touches her inappropriately. Ringwald adds that when she was a teenager, she was vaguely aware of how inappropriate much of John's writing was and still can't quite understand how John was able to write with so much sensitivity and also have such a glaring blind spot. She said, "How are we meant to feel about art that we both love and oppose?" she asks. And that's pretty much it. So, of course, he died.
I'll just leave it there.
He died in 2009 and rose to fame as the director of all those great movies, The Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink, and many, many others.
Did you see the documentary that I think it was A&E did on John Hughes and the films and the fact that he sort of had a quasi-crush on Molly Ringwald? He never acted on it or did anything like that, but Molly Ringwald was the girl that he always wanted in high school,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
And he had said stuff that indicated that. He never put moves on her or was, you know, put advances on her, but that was sort of the thing that he had going. That was his... Whereas Hitchcock had his women that he was... Now, Hitchcock would be inappropriate. But that was the story with John Hughes and Molly Ringwald.
One of the best things I ever read about John Hughes was after he passed away, about a year or two after that, a girl who was a pen pal of his.
Uh-huh.
She was a teenager in high school. She identified with the Ally Sheedy character in Breakfast Club.
Okay.
And she started writing letters to John, and they built up a friendship via letters. And it was so well done. It's just a really good correspondence between the two.
Oh, that's cool.
If you ever get a chance to search it out and find it, it's a really good read. So, all right, anyhow, moving along. Fans who've been missing seeing Kate Hudson's face around know why she's been laying low. Because in a video on Friday, she shared that she and her boyfriend, Danny Fujikawa, are expecting their first child together.
So she's had kids with every one of the musicians she's mm-hmm. been involved with, right?
Yes.
Was she was married to Chris Robinson or no?
Yes.
She was not married to Muse Boy, right?
Yeah. Okay. But they had a kid together. So, yeah, they shared the news via Instagram and a clip showing them and Hudson's sons, Bingham Hahn, who is 6, and Ryder Russell, who is 14, popping 4 balloons, which were filled with explosions of pink confetti. She captioned the video, "Surprise. If you're wondering why I've been so absent on my social channels, it's because I have never been more sick." She said she was thick.
Sick.
She said...
That's what I told everyone I'm sick.
It was the...
expecting.
She said it was the most sick first trimester of all my children. Boomerangs have made me nauseous. Super Zoom is an easy way to have my head in the toilet. Food Instagrams make me queasy, and thinking too much about Insta stories made me even more exhausted than I already had been. So that's why she's staying off social media, she's saying. But anyhow, she added that her family, she has finally broken through the cycle of sickness and is now just crazy excited to welcome a little girl with Fujikawa. She shares the son Ryder with Chris Robinson and Bingham with Matthew Bellamy. So she's going for number 3 with number 3.
Hey, so, what the hell? So, yeah, and there you have Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell have been together for decades, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but she considers Kurt Russell her dad, even though he's the adopted dad.
Yep. Let's see. Halle Berry is attached to star in the remake of Jagged Edge.
You don't say.
It's interesting. Oh, yeah, she's got a...
I'm a stalker.
Pleased
to meet you.
I don't know that movie.
And just laying low. What? The Jagged Edge?
It was Glenn Close and Jeff Bridges, and it's a pretty good movie.
It's not bad. It was around the time of, the Fatal Attraction boom.
It was before that, because Glenn Close went on to be in Fatal Attraction. But the story follows, it came out in 1985.
Oh, Falafel Attraction was the
story follows a high-powered lawyer who is Glenn Close, and she's hired by a man who will be played by, who was played by Jeff Bridges, who's accused of killing his socialite wife.
Does it?
And then they get a relationship together and all this stuff, so.
Well,
and the knife that was used to kill wife had a jagged, had like a...
And that's in the movie poster.
Like a fish scaler on the end of it, you know, so they called it Jagged Edge. So that should be interesting. They could probably do a nice updated version of that. How about this? The Candace Bergen sitcom Murphy Brown is returning to CBS this fall. It's official.
Okay, so it's official.
And the stars of the 1990s show have reunited, and Bergen shared photographic evidence of their fun-loving summit on Instagram.
Is Grant showed in it? Because
he is.
Because he lives locally,
he
right?
He lives locally. He's a very nice guy. We had him by, and he loved hanging out with us. So.
I ran into him in the farmer's market in Wayne not that long ago. He's the nicest dude on the planet. So cool. He said he really enjoyed his visit here as well.
We will have to have him back on, but he's in the picture there, Steve.
Yeah, let's see if we can broker that and get some of the others.
What's that girl's name? Corky?
Yeah, Corky was the actress's name?
Yeah.
Or
Faith Hill.
No, not Faith Hill.
Faith Ford.
Yep. So they're all in it. Murphy Brown together again, it was captioned. Coming to your neighborhood TV in the fall, just in time. So the show, of course, joins the reboot revival.
Imagine if you were on a long-running show and you had your day in the sun, And it comes back again later on in your career.
It would be so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's long gone.
Yes.
You know, these shows have been long gone, and all of a sudden, and this wouldn't have happened had there not been all of these other avenues for television shows to pop up on.
Yes.
Netflix and Hulu and Amazon.
Exactly.
And all that.
Exactly.
So now they've made
Fuller House.
Now they've made room, and you can get back on network television. So I'm happy for this crew. I always thought that was a fun show.
It was a fun show, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's do clips.
Yeah.
Screw it. AMC's new series, The Terror, has been gaining popularity based on its gritty telling of a Royal Navy ship in pursuit of the Northwest Passage, plagued by starvation, cold, and creepy creatures. Actor Adam Negatis explains the history of the ship. Here it is.
The idea was, it's quite haunting. The ship vanished. No one has any clue. Nobody really, you know, knows if it was exactly what it was that killed him. So I think things like that are always intriguing, especially now with in such an area, going to the Arctic, and, you know, the idea of clashes of cultures and how, you know, colonialism and the spread of colonialism meets its barriers.
How scared.
Okay, I know what this is. So a couple of weeks ago, and I record The Walking Dead. I don't watch this too late.
Right.
It's on too late for me. Uh-huh. And I had seen that it recorded 2 hours. I'm like, whoa.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm like, is this like an extra long episode I was not aware of? And I'm watching. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm all settled in. I'm ready to go watch it. And then the episode ends, and then it goes straight into this. It duped me.
Uh-huh.
Into, how much of this
you're
going to
watch this
through?
Too. 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And I was out. But it's probably really good, but I was just like, I don't know what this is. But
well, they're apparently taking liberties with history because there are monsters.
In this?
Is that what you just said? Creatures? Yeah. Creepy creatures?
I guess so. Yeah, but is it legitimately a historic story?
It's supposed to be.
Okay. So it's based
on... So it's true. There are creepy creatures.
Well, here's what happened. It's based on something that really did happen. These people did go through the... But
yeah, the Great North... They
never resurfaced. So,
okay.
I think the liberty is what happened to them.
Okay. And natural assumption is creepy creatures.
Creepy creatures. A new episode of The Terror premieres tonight at 9 on AMC. Let's do another clip here.
Oh, yeah.
The Crossing follows several refugees seeking asylum from a war-torn country, only to realize the country they are fleeing from is the one they are looking to find salvation in.
Ooh, it's full of creepy creatures.
In this clip, lead actor Steve Zahn talks about the key element to the show. Here we go.
Refugee aspect, there's something of that. I think that's the heart. That's the heart of it. Even aside from the where they come from, which is 180 years ahead of time, it's that aspect that's you know, kind of the heart of it.
I have no idea what this... I haven't seen anything about this. It's on ABC. There's an new episode that airs tonight.
This is the one that they promote that is Lost-ish, is it not?
I guess so. It's 180 years in the future, is that what you said? Okay.
Well, they come from the future.
They come from the future?
I think so. I think that's what you said.
And they discover the Northwest Passage.
Yeah, something like
that. That's a different show.
Can you tell we're all over this?
Yeah. When does Candace Bergen show up?
All right, there you go. That's what I have for you in entertainment news this morning.
You got all the definitive info you needed.
Yes, you did, didn't you? All right, we're going to take a break because in less than an hour, we have to get ourselves prepared for MMR's birthday bucks, $1,000. Yet again, we started up this week, and you get five shots per day to win a grand, and this goes on for several weeks. So we'll take a break, come back in a moment, see what we can get into on this Monday morning together. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thanks, Kath. Nick, what's up?
I think on that other show, we got Tom Hanks finally.
Oh, finally. Yeah. Interesting.
Okay. I'm Casey Boy from the future, and I can stop you from playing two effects at once.
Oh, my God. Can I bust on you about something, man? And I just, this is not you.
I can't believe you're actually asking me permission.
Well, because it's petty, and I know we have something else planned, but yeah. I got to bring this up.
Okay, go for it.
You're trying to pull off the flat brim.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
And the reason I bring this up is, and listen, it may be, it's me, okay?
It's you.
I apologize, but anybody, and listen, if you are one that wears the flat brim hat thing, I hate people that wear flat brim hats.
We hate you.
I mean, you hate the look.
A baseball hat.
Right.
But I immediately make an assumption about you if I see you wearing them.
I know what you mean.
I think you're a dick.
You think he's a douche.
And you very well may not be. And that's probably wrong on my part, but I just.
So you're calling yourself out in a way for prejudging people on a flat brim. But I understand
it. Maybe I'll come around.
Is it too hip-hoppy?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's just douchey. It's just douchey. It's like duck lips, you know? I mean, stop it.
You know who wears his hat like that?
Who?
If you watch a Ghost Adventures, the guy Zach Baggins who does the, he wears that.
That guy's a douche.
He kind of is.
Right?
But I love him, yeah.
See, now you're going to make him self-conscious that he's never going to wear it again because you yourself
That's
have,
not true. I'm going to wear this every single day.
But you yourself
have, I don't give a crap what he thinks.
I know.
Yes, you do. But
I
listen,
really don't.
You, because you made a comment not that long ago about it being the style and that you weren't quite sure if you could pull it off.
Yeah.
So I noticed his hat too because I was surprised that you were wearing it after making that comment.
Yeah, I thought you had said you can't pull it off.
There you go. Take a look. That's
I'm
him.
Trying.
Zach Baggins up on the screen.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm trying. So I'm wearing this hat because my son plays for the Orioles for his Little League team. And so this is their hat. And I'm like, you know what? All right. I like the hat.
What's out that? Of love for your son,
yeah,
and you're being chastised for that.
Hey, so wait, does his team have a flat brim hat? All the kids?
They have. Well, I don't know. Wait, if it's flat brim, but it's this hat.
What you do is you take your hands and you shape the brim a little bit.
Well, some are made, but not all of them.
Some of them are made to stay that way.
Really?
Yeah. So what I was told by the guy is that eventually gravity or whatever will eventually fold the brim over and it will curve.
Now is leaving this whatever the sticker on, is that part of it?
That's part of it. That was
really?
Recommended to me by the guy, yeah.
Really?
I only know this because I had a conversation with Casey about it.
I'm taking it.
No, Casey! He just went flying back.
God, did you pull a muscle when you jerked your head back that hard?
No, but just don't touch my hat. Don't touch my clothes.
Don't touch the hat, dude. Don't touch the hat, dude.
No, that's fine. I sort of felt the same way after a little while. It's kind of like, people who refuse to get cell phones, thinking that, like, it was a passing fad.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere, for the time being, so.
You can hate it if you want.
I don't care. I don't. It's not going to.
Can you make calls on that?
Listen, I'm just, okay. I'm just saying, I'm pointing out a flaw of my own. And I don't like you anymore.
No. What he thought he liked about you, he can no longer stand you.
Is there anything that you see on someone and immediately make... I mean, everybody.
A clan outfit.
Well, yes, of course.
I mean, I automatically make assumptions. Someone's wearing a full-blown clan outfit. I'm thinking, I'm not going to like this person.
I'm going to go to Spencer here. Hi, Spencer, good morning.
Morning, Gadzooks.
What's up, dude?
The reason that I wear a flat-brim hat personally, because the one that I have at flat brim looks a lot better backwards than it does forwards.
Okay.
And, I can understand sometimes certain people it looks kind of,
douchey.
But the hat, like I said, the hat that I have, it's a Cooper Sound Collection hat. And when I put it on forward, it looks really dumb. So that's the reason why.
Oh, so Spencer, you're saying flat brim backwards is a better way. It's a better hat for that.
Yes, absolutely.
So I might consider, you know what happens? Like, I want to wear, when I go out in the summer and I have a long brim Preston, it's like, I wear a long brim hat up front, you know, like a cap. And it extends out.
Is that a baseball hat?
Yeah, like a baseball hat, like, but it goes out further, like what a golfers might wear. Not like the big, you know, the big wide suckers. But the back of my neck has no protection, so yeah. I'm trying to figure out how to.
Oh, you need it. You remember from the 80s?
I know
those baseball hats.
And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
A little drape in the back.
It looks like a bad haircut.
It's a fashion trend that some people aren't going to get used to, and they're just going to hate it. They're going to associate it with whatever. But for me, there have been fashion trends where in the beginning I'm like, that just looks dumb.
Okay.
And then after a little while, you get used to it.
So I'm trying to find out why people leave the sticker on. And mostly what I'm finding is that it's just to show that the hat is new and that it used to be, they used to have the brand symbol on it. So mm-hmm. like Nike would have would have it on there, and that's why people would keep it on.
Yeah,
there's
a Key and Peele. Did you guys see that skit?
No, I did not.
It's a really funny skit where a dude comes, he's got a sticker on the hat, and then Peele comes back and he wants to show that his hat's even newer, so it still has like the that little magnetic thing on the hat, and then Peele comes back and he's wearing the whole hat rack. It's really
to show that it's newer.
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody text in to tell me Preston wearing leather bracelets is douchey.
There you go.
Well, I wear leather bracelets too.
Yeah. I haven't worn them in a little while. What?
I'm not saying anything. Oh. It's just everybody's got their little thing.
Yeah, everybody does something. Everybody's a douche in their own way.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that the song goes, Preston? Everyone is douchey in their own way.
Let's see here. All right. Hang on. I'm going to go to a couple calls. Let me go to Jeff. Hey, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, Jeff?
So I think we all knew this person in high school and college, but the people that I immediately judge, and, shame on me for doing this, is the people that when it's snowing outside or when it's 30 degrees outside, still walk outside in shorts.
Yeah. We had this conversation or T-shirts, In other words, they stand in defiance of Mother Nature. It's a statement. You know they're actually cold. They just won't fess up to it.
Yep.
Yeah, I hear you.
You want to just say, like, wear a jacket. We all know that you're cold. What are you trying to prove?
Yeah, the best thing to do is to not acknowledge it at all, because that's what's there. That's what's being sought. You're just wearing a T-shirt? Yeah. Don't even say anything. Hey, buddy.
Let me go next to Pierre. Hey, Pierre, good morning.
Is that me?
Yes.
That's Peter.
Peter.
Oh, hey, Peter.
I guess my French name's happening.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Go ahead, Peter.
White sunglasses. If you wear them, you're a dude.
You know what's funny?
That is so funny. Yes.
I had white sunglasses this past summer. I bought sunglasses for the for my Grand Canyon trip, and I just wanted to buy something that I didn't care about. That if they fell into the river, then so be it or whatever. And this dude was relentless about my white sunglasses. I'm like, okay.
Unless you're Bruce Valanche, it's really not. I think they do look a little weird.
Not that I would agree with this, but I just know that people have said this before. So my brother actually for like 3 summers in a row would specifically buy white sunglasses just to piss his friends off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So like, he did it on purpose.
I guess that's not a red flag to me.
No.
As much as the flat brim hat. What's that?
Go ahead.
To me, if you have the white sunglasses with the little oil stain kind of lens on them, you're even douchier.
So you have a hole.
So that rainbow, the rainbow tinted, frames. Okay. Or the lenses. The okay. All right. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it.
All right. So speaking of douchey sunglasses, I saw this guy and I didn't think it was douchey. I just felt bad for him because he clearly thought these were like the coolest sunglasses,
right?
But they were like futuristic, like out of Mad Max. But they're two sunglasses. But instead of the what do you call these things? The arms that go around your ears.
Right, the ears.
They went over his head.
Wait a minute. So the parts that what is that?
It's
the band, I guess. I don't know, but anyhow,
whatever. Yeah.
So
it goes
over the top of his head.
Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, poor guy.
You know? Do you ever see people though? We know somebody. He's a very nice guy. Expert on snowblowers, but he will wear ski.
Yeah.
Masks?
Yeah, they're like yellow lens.
Yeah, he came from the future to warn us about a snowblower disaster.
They're just yellow lenses or they're really big?
Casey, how would you describe
them? Sorry, I'm joking. The snowblower disaster. How would I? They look like glasses that you would wear if you were blowing leaves or something like that.
Well,
yeah.
Well, who knows? But, it's just a weird look. It's a little overkill.
Did you find those geeky sunglasses that go over the top of the head? Oh, you gotta find them.
I was actually trying to find, for the longest while, Morpheus sunglasses that clip on your nose.
Yeah.
They don't work. The second you have any bit of sweat, right, they pop right off.
You actually bought a pair?
Oh, they were horrible.
And they would fall off?
Unwearable.
What the hell is, oh my God.
See them? Yeah,
we're looking at this. That looks like something out of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Yep.
And I saw a guy wearing them on the beach.
That's awesome.
And I try not to have judgment, but I was like, you think this...
But I'm totally judging you.
Yes.
Was this when we were in Florida, or was it last year at the shore?
It was at Beach Blast. So my kids are in a soccer tournament down the shore every single summer, and there was a guy. I'm like, oh, man.
Was he doing it to be funny, to be ironic?
No.
He was doing it because he needed eye protection.
And I can tell the difference. Yeah. No, he thought he looked cool.
Okay.
He was waiting for Rocket Raccoon to show up.
He was wearing, like, jorts and... You know, like Doc Martens or something like that on the beach.
Okay. I'm going to go to Dan next. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Hey, sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's okay.
It's all good, man. What's up?
Hey, I was the guy that called in when it was the shorts in the wintertime. All I have to say is it is not cold. My legs are not cold. I'm not a douche.
Okay. Oh, he wears shorts in the winter.
Okay. Yeah. You're sticking up for your side. We got it.
All right. But people that put Salt Life stickers on their vehicles and keep Tom and Tyve on, you're not getting girls.
I suspect at some level you're correct.
You're
in that,
100% right.
Now, we're big fans of the Chives, certainly. But
do you have a sticker on your car?
But no. Because
I don't put this Salt Life sticker on my car.
Yeah. What is Salt Life?
I like to go to the beach a lot, right?
Beach people, right?
To the beach, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want everybody to know it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You're not getting girls. That's your.
Yeah. If you have Keep Calm and Chive on your vehicle, you get no women.
Thank you, Dan.
Well, what the perception is that women are going to go, wait, I should go audition for this guy because in some way he's connected to the Chive.
Yeah, he's a Chiver.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Let me go to Andrew. Hey, Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. So you make a judgment immediately when you see somebody wearing what?
Pants that are a little bit too low and they can't afford a belt and they show their boxers. I cannot stand that. I'm like, do I need to go out to Target or like Kmart to get you a belt because you can't pull up your pants?
That's super low.
Does that still happen?
That's what I'm curious about. Okay. I mean, it used to be really prevalent.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me. A good 15 years ago.
It confuses me, though. I don't know how you can
do that. It's not like, comfortable. How is that comfortable?
Well, how do you keep the goddamn shorts up?
I agree.
I don't understand.
I used to wonder
the same thing about my buddy Tom would wear, and I just never asked him about it, but he would wear, you remember this is way back, probably in the late 80s was a fashion where you would have high top sneakers and you would have them, they weren't tied,
mm-hmm,
and like the tongue was even loosened out. How did those stay on your feet?
How?
Same thing with the pants.
Preston, it's below the curve of the lower part of your ass. And so what's holding them up? Is the belt taut around your upper thighs?
Yeah, even if I don't, if I happen to not be wearing a belt and I've got like my wallet and my keys and my phone, like my pants start to slip down.
Yes!
And I'm like...
Yeah, they must have nothing in their pockets to
or maybe they stay semi-erect to hold the pants up.
That could be it.
I didn't think about that.
Boner belt.
Well,
it's gotta be.
Yeah. See, I don't have enough confidence that I wouldn't have... skid marks in my underpants to wear my pants like that.
Big splotches of crap all over the back of your shorts.
You pulled my pants up for me the other day, Casey.
I did.
I forgot my belt. And they were kind of riding a little bit low. And so you came up behind me and grabbed the belt loop and lifted them up on me.
That's what friends are for.
I appreciated it.
You can only do it. How often do you go commando? Do you go commando?
Not very often.
Okay. Summertime.
Only when I run out of underwear.
I know Pierre says he goes commando a lot. You can never rock something like this because you're basically your bare ass hanging out.
You're looking like Jackie Bam Bam walking down the street. Let me go to, I have Dave. Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Big brown guanabana nipples.
Getting sucked down by
all sorts of pimples.
I did that the other day, yeah. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I can't stand when people wear hunter camo.
Hunter camo, okay.
Unless they're hunters.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. Setting,
does it matter, you know?
Listen, unless you're going hunting, I agree. I don't see that much of a fashion statement. And it's, what's funny is you'll see it on all kinds of stuff. Some people have their car upholstery made into that stuff.
Their phone cases?
I've seen that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their wedding gowns?
I'm with you, Dave. I kind of see it and go, eh.
Well, you don't want those deer spotting your cell phone.
Like right, exactly. Well, the thing is also, if you're wearing it and you're walking down Chestnut, it's, you know, the camo thing is lost. And unless your camo is, at that point, bricks and street signs.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do urban camo.
Yeah, city hunting.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. I do wear, from time to time, the old school camo, you know, from...
Dinosaurs?
No. Oh. The way it used to be. The way camouflage used to be.
Oh, the way it should be. The way God intended.
Yes. Yeah,
like,
right.
Like real military style.
Yeah. Only I do the black and gray. I don't do the green and
I like
brown
that.
Thing.
I do chartreuse and mauve.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Actually.
Sort of gay.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm going to go to...
Line 4 makes no sense. I don't even see people that...
Okay. Let me go to Kevin then. Line 4 per Casey. Hi, yeah. Kevin. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey!
What's up?
Hey!
What's up, Kevin?
Nothing. So my ex did this, and it drove me nuts.
Okay.
The middle of summer, it's like 90 degrees out. She's wearing ski goggles.
Ski goggles?
Ski goggles.
Why?
Did she ever say the words, "I like the Tin Man"?
I've never seen anybody do
so
that.
So he hates his ex, and right, because this isn't a thing,
yeah,
right?
No, wait I've
a
minute. Never seen that.
Why would she? What was her reasoning behind that, Kevin?
I don't know. I don't know. I've seen other people.
You guys didn't talk much, did you? I mean, generally, I would ask my girlfriend, "Why are you wearing ski goggles?"
She didn't do it initially. She never even really skied or snowboarded until she met.
Do you know, I think you're just making this up.
No, Kevin, you know what the deal was? She was trying to make you break up with her.
Yeah.
So she had a knight's helmet or these goggles. And those, she went with the goggles.
Oh,
to embarrass you at the beach.
You know what, dude? You mentioned the knight's helmet. And you were talking about Get Out earlier this morning. You know the beginning of the movie? Where he I like that knight helmet.
It's very cool.
I want that knight helmet
it's
for
very
some
cool.
bizarre reason.
I love all that armor. Like, you know, it's really cool though. It's you know, in Excalibur, the movie, the Excalibur. They had
the
that
shining
incredibly
armor,
burnished. Yes, oh, yeah. It looks phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really not. It's not useful in a modern day world.
Steve, if I saw you, I wouldn't think you were a douche wearing that.
Thanks. Hey!
Let me see here. Let me go to... What is that? I don't know all this stuff. Hang on. Let me go to Tom. Tom, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks. What's up, bud?
So how about Affliction t-shirts and the True Religion jeans? Like, real gaudy.
Well, if they're still wearing that, they're just out of style.
Mm-hmm. Is that
it's
old?
Like the Ed... Yeah, it was the Ed... What was it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
So you know who used to wear that all the time was John Gosselin.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
All the time.
Well, he was friends with Ed Harvey.
He was friends with Ed Harvey, yeah.
Ed Hardy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ed Harley.
Ed Harley. He was friends with Sarah Harley, our former...
hang on. How about this one? This is making an assumption on some... Just a fashion item that you see. You just can't stand it. I'm going to go to Chuck. Hey, Chuck, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
First thing I wanted to say was to the guy that called about the sagging of the pants.
Yeah.
That
started in the prison system in the 70s and 80s, and that meant that your back door was open for business.
Really?
I don't believe that.
One second, Chuck.
I completely believe it.
Telling you that for years.
Totally believe it.
Which cooler, older, drunk cousin told you that story?
Yeah. Oh,
I'm telling you, it is.
It is the truth.
I believe it, and I back you 100%, Chuck. That's totally believe.
But the other thing that bothers you, when you go to the gym and the guy has the cutoff shirt, but has a freaking wool hat on.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that gym look.
Working out in the gym wearing a wool hat?
Hardcore gym. Yeah, it's like you, it's like you're showing. I've seen it time and time again. Where the gym I used to work out at years and years and years ago was a real clanky weight gym. And the guys, this is the place where they would sell steroids in the back there, Preston.
Yeah.
And the dudes all had that the wool caps on. A lot of them would wear like flannel shirts and lumberjack boots, like fully dressed
while working
out to sweat
is there a reason behind it? Because it'll make you sweat more. I mean, you're
that's what I thought,
sweating,
but it just looks goofy.
I would see that as a little bit on the
douchey. I wear my
side,
Jane Fonda workout outfit.
Hey, thanks. Let's go to stay on the hat tip for a second. I'm going to go to Jason. Hey, Jason. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Jason?
Yeah, the Scully hat or the winter hat all summer long, and it's the extra long, almost touches your shoulders with the back part of your hat all summer long
through the summer.
Mostly hipsters, but girls, guys, hot sweaty concerts, any venue.
The skull hat, which I'm not quite sure what this is.
It's the wool cap.
The wool cap. Okay, all right.
It's a wool cap or ones that hang down.
Oh,
a little lower as well.
Okay. They're great in the winter.
Yeah.
For keeping your head warm. In the summertime, I don't know how they don't end up smelling on people that wear them year round.
Yeah, that's true.
And they wear it so slouchy. It's like slouchy Smurf.
Slouchy Smurfs.
All right, thanks.
The
man.
Worst. What are your thoughts on just the regular hipster look in general?
I'm all right with it.
Are you?
It depends.
Doesn't really bother me.
What about like just a mustache? Hipster.
I really try not to judge. And look, if it makes you happy, who cares?
I had at a server not too long ago who had the curly Q mustache. It was in the city.
How are you this fine day?
He was a nice guy. He was a really good server. But I was just like, dude, I almost don't want to eat
the food
because
you're serving
I'm now
me?
Thinking about your mustache.
Keep your mustache out of my soup.
While I'm trying to eat my burger or whatever it was. I'm like, I kept thinking of, hair, mustache.
There's a dude
in food, mustache, burger.
There's a dude at the Wawa I go to who's got the slightest wisp of a beard that doesn't quite grow in, but they still make him wear the beard net.
Oh, come on. You guys, I've told you, you poor souls who have to wear the beard net.
Every time
face.
I go in, I'm like, what? It's a beard net.
What was the other thing?
I feel like if you're going to have a mustache.
The hipster look.
Yeah.
What movie was it recently that said the man bun is the mullet of the of the hipster world now, or it will be in the future. We'll consider that to be the mullet.
Totally. I'm not a fan of the man bun.
Yeah.
No.
Hang on.
Hey, real quick. Snopes says no on that prison thing with the pants down.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I believe it 100%.
I'm going to go to Brandon next. Hey, Brandon, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, bud. What thing you see on him immediately, you have a, you've made an assumption about someone, a douchebag assumption.
Yeah, that would be Titleist caps. Like the golf club company Titleist.
I wear Titleist.
Yeah, I knew it.
That's on the golf course? Or?
Clarify. Anytime, anywhere?
Not on a golf course.
Oh, so.
Okay, that's where I wear.
On a golf course, it's okay, but anywhere else, it's douchey.
Not? Here's the thing. Yeah, I have yet to meet a person who's wearing a Titleist cap, whether it's in a Walmart or a Wawa, somewhere not other than. Other than a golf course that wasn't a decent person. Usually very smug.
Okay, all right. So your actual interaction with anybody who's had Titleist, that brand across their hat, they've been smug, they've been pompous, they've been rude.
Extremely. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Wow. So from now on, when you see someone with that hat, you're automatically like, there's a douchebag.
Yeah, I want to uppercut.
All right, let me ask you, is there a golf product or a golf hat, an advertiser?
For the everyman?
Right, for the everyman. What would be a more acceptable hat in your estimation?
Not Titleist.
Anything
a brand
but
called
Titleist.
Not Titleist.
Callaway, TaylorMade.
Callaway, yeah.
Cleveland, there's plenty of them out there.
That's so really funny.
So you wear the hat he's talking about.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Right. I have several Titleist hats. I mean, I use Titleist golf balls.
But you only use them when you golf, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I very rarely
wear a hat. Yeah. The only time I wear a hat when I'm not on the golf course is if I didn't get a chance to get in the shower and I got to run to Wawa and grab some milk or something.
All right,
like that,
admit it. You were wearing it yesterday when you were watching the Masters.
No, okay. I was not because I had showered by then. But I did wear it to the grocery store to go pick up some breakfast.
The Titleist hat?
Mm-hmm.
You
here
douche.
Comes Mr. Titleist.
I've had somebody comment on me on social media on because I was wearing... let's say like an Under Armour shirt and Nike pants and like a Adidas,
yeah.
Whatever. And so and that they had major problem.
You mismatched.
I mismatched like all the
Lord.
You
were crossing
New Balance
streams.
Sneakers. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I'm like,
well, Casey, I wore a Phillies hat to an Eagles game a couple years ago, and I got crucified for that.
Is that a no-no?
According to some people on social media, yes.
Okay. I find it worse if it's all the same
all matching.
Brand.
If it's completely
yeah,
matched, it looks a little more douchey. I think.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Super
I think that's
douchey.
A little
it's,
more
it's like
douchey.
You put together an ensemble.
Right. Yeah.
What are you, a tennis player?
Yeah.
What
right.
Do you, a golfer?
Look, I'm wearing all my Puma stuff.
Right.
We sponsored?
All right, interesting. It's an interesting. Listen, I freely admit it that if I do see it, I'm like, you know, I might have an initial reaction of someone who's wearing a flat brim hat, and I brought this up because Casey's wearing a flat brim hat today. Although it's got a tiny bit of a curve in it.
See, I'm breaking it in.
Some of them are really, you know, arch. They're just straight across top, and I immediately go, "Oh, God, you douchebag!" And then I know that. How in the world do I know? That guy could be a wonderful person.
The nicest person in the world.
You're pointing the fault on you for presupposing stuff about people that's probably true.
Yeah.
Listen, that's what we do.
Thank you for putting it in plain English.
I think everyone is covered in that.
Preston,
I appreciate it.
I am building bridges is what I'm doing here, you know? So for everybody out there.
What is this? Hands across America.
Yeah. Don't judge the guy with flat brim hat or pants around his knees.
Is that what Hands Across America was all about?
I guess so.
Okay.
They didn't have a better recording of this?
Yeah, I know. That's
it was 1986.
We're judging.
They didn't. That was the best we had.
Tell what that was. All right.
It's a horrible recording.
All right. Anyhow, we need to take a break because we do have a chance for you to win $1,000. The birthday bucks is back again on this Monday morning, week number 2 of 6. So we got plenty of time, but you need to get in on it every single time if you can in order to have optimum chance to win that money. So that's coming up in a little bit. I got some bizarre file stories you're going to love. We'll break and be back in a second. Stay with us.
Jackson's Jeep Club and Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram present MMR's Mudder's Day 2018. Get dirty and get your Jeep on at Bridgeport Speedway, Sweetsboro, New Jersey, Saturday, May 12th. $15 per vehicle gets you in. And a go at one of the custom dirt obstacle courses. Hundreds of Jeeps, Jeep parts to win, MMRBQ tickets, food trucks, and did we mention mud?
Join us for a great day. We'll get dirty with our Jeeps. We'll have cool prizes and vendors on site, too, like DHY Motorsports, ExtremeTerrain.com, and more.
MMR's Mudder's Day with Jackson's Jeep Club at Bridgeport Speedway. Tickets on sale now. WMMR.com for complete details. From Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we're selling excitement. And 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Thanks, Kath. It's 8 o'clock. Let's do this.
MMR's Birthday Bucks.
Birthday Bucks.
We have a chance for you to win $1,000 from WMMR, Philadelphia, and A&T Chevy in Sellersville. My God, is this easy. I'm going to give you a specific word and a specific number. You text that word to that number and wait, and you just might win $1,000. You have 15 minutes past the hour to text the word RED. R-E-D, like the color, to 40772. You just might win. We're going to randomly draw a texter from that pool, and they will get $1,000. So once again, the word is RED.
Yeah.
The number is 40772. Text it now. You just might win. Good luck to you.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning's brought to you by A.D. Moyer. Trex is engineering what's next in outdoor living. Visit your Trex experts at A.D. Moyer Lumber and see how Trex can enhance your outdoor oasis. It's admoyer.com. A Florida woman who was arrested last month on drug possession charges blamed the cocaine found in her purse on the wind.
The wind blew cocaine into her purse?
What she says, Kenesha Posey was one of two passengers in a car that was swerving in the roadway when it was stopped by police. According to the report, an officer approached the car and smelled an odor of marijuana coming from inside. During a search of the car, the officer found cocaine and marijuana in separate bags inside a purse that Posey had on her lap.
It's unbelievable.
When questioned about the drugs, Posey admitted that the marijuana was indeed hers. The cocaine was a different story. She said, I don't know anything about any cocaine. She said, it's a windy day. It must have flown through the window and into my purse.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
There are kids outside, Preston.
So Posey was booked into the county jail on one felony count of cocaine possession and a misdemeanor count of marijuana possession.
So the pistol in her glove compartment, did the wind blow that in there too?
She didn't indicate. That might have been from the rain. I'm not sure. An embarrassed mother issued an apology after accidentally sending her little boy off to school in a T-shirt that was definitely not safe for the children's eyes.
This is great.
Yeah, so Shelley McCuller from Texas didn't think twice when she sent her son Anthony off to Travis Elementary in what she thought was a McDonald's T-shirt. And I'm holding up a picture of this for you guys to see.
I'm loving it. Oh, boy.
The shirt was red with a yellow M-shaped arch, but the slogan, I'm loving it, was underneath. It sounds innocent enough, but it's not the actual logo. It's a pair of women's legs spread apart, giving the slogan a whole new meaning. So it looks like a woman, if you were to try to explain this, if a woman was lying on her back and she propped her knees up and spread her legs out,
yeah,
and laid on her back, and you had a shot looking right up Main Street,
yeah. So it looks like the arches.
It would look like the letter M.
Yeah.
So anyhow, McCuller took to Facebook to explain her son's innocent mistake and apologize to his teacher. She said, once again, my sincere apologies to the teachers and staff at Travis Elementary. I promise from now on to monitor what my kids are wearing. I had no idea that Anthony wore this to school. She explained the shirt was found in a basket of secondhand clothes that were given to her by a friend. She said, just to clarify, I would never let my kid wear something like this. A friend had given me some hand-me-down clothes for Anthony. I haven't had the chance to completely go through them all. Yes. I will tonight, though.
Wow. Okay.
But on the plus side, she said nobody at school seemed to notice the logo.
That's too funny, though.
She called it out herself. So.
I mean, it's glaring to my eyes, but to other people just in passing or maybe a busy mom in the morning wouldn't quite notice it.
I guess, maybe. A 17-year-old boy has pleaded guilty to second-degree assault and second-degree malicious mischief for breaking a window at a school and striking the principal with a spear.
With a spear?
Like a real deal spear. So the boy entered his plea on Tuesday. Similar charges against the boy's 19-year-old brother, Jamond, who was with the 17-year-old during the attack, were dropped due to reasons of mental incompetency. Officials said the brothers entered the school lobby wielding a spear and wooden staff. After breaking a window with the spear, the brothers are accused of attacking Principal Dale Stopperin, partially severing his right ear and injuring his elbow and knee.
Were they targeting him specifically for a spear attack?
I really don't know.
Or was just the unfortunate one who came across him?
But listen to this. School personnel armed with baseball bats drove the brothers out of the building before police arrested him. So
it's like a feudal battle.
It's totally what it is. Oh, my God. Spears and bats.
And then people on elephants showed up.
The BMW driver accused of fatally stabbing a man in a road rage incident set off by errant spit was arrested on a charge of second-degree murder on Thursday night. This is messed up, man. This guy, Teddy Smith, was arrested. Smith does not appear to have...
I drive a BMW.
Smith does not appear to have known the man that he's accused of stabbing, the Tampa police said. Police also confirmed witness accounts that detailed how the deadly argument started. So Gilbert Cerna was a passenger in a Dodge Ram landscaping truck when its driver stopped next to the BMW. Cerna spit out of the window and accidentally struck either the car or the driver. The driver of the BMW took offense, got out of his car, verbally confronted Cerna. The driver of the BMW stabbed him in the upper body.
Oof.
And then got back into his car and drove away, just walked over and stabbed the dude. Police released surveillance video of the black BMW convertible seconds after the incident. Video showed the BMW going through the intersection, trailed seconds later by the Ram with a wounded Serna in the passenger seat. Ram driver Jeffrey Hunter told police he attempted to follow the BMW before realizing the extent of Serna's injuries and stopped. Officers performed CPR on the man, but he was pronounced dead at a local hospital.
Over spit?
Yeah, and according to jail records, though, in recent years, this guy Smith has been arrested on charges of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, false imprisonment, battery, possession of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. So this dude, he's a bad guy.
Yes.
Got out and stabbed the guy. Wow. All right, and then finally, we will end with one more quick story, a follow-up to a story I had the other day. The contaminated synthetic marijuana that Illinois public health officials have been warning about has claimed at least two lives, a 22-year-old suburban Chicago man and another state resident. So we talked about this. You smoke this stuff, and some people started bleeding from their orifices, out of their eyes, out of their ears and mouths and pretty much everywhere.
That's enough to keep me from doing it.
The Chicago man was found to have in his system traces of anticoagulant brodificoam, which is a chemical used in rat poison.
Ew.
And it thins your blood so much that it comes out of your eyes?
I guess so, but they were lacing this stuff with junk you find in rat poison. So they've managed to narrow it down. They don't know if it was connected.
They should put that on the label.
To the other death as well, but that is just messed up, man. So you don't know what is in that stuff. And there you go. That is what I have for you this morning in the Bizarre File. We have an announcement to make. This is cool. This is a save the date event, and it's not until we get into the summertime, but you want to know the date of this now, as your participation may rely on knowing the date of this event. So this will be Saturday, June 16th, Valley Forge Casino Resort Event Center. It is the I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive.
Yeah.
So we're excited about this once again, and we think we have found the perfect home for the event. Of course, at Valley Forge Casino Resort and Event Center. It's such a great place to put this event on. There are things to do while you're waiting.
Easy to get in and out of. It's nice and air-conditioned, which helps with people collapsing. We've really dropped those numbers.
Yeah, and we've got audio and video equipment all over the place, too. So there's some stuff to watch and hang out while you're waiting to get through. So jot this date down, because you need to know that there's a 56-day waiting period between blood donations.
Yes.
So eventually we'll get to, I'm not going to do the math right now, but we'll give you that final date that you need to if you want to donate in advance, which we certainly recommend that you do.
Yes.
Because, you know, as often as you can donate, it only helps. So the official blood drive date is going to be Saturday, June 16th. Act donors, please note the last day. Here it is. It's already right here. I didn't even know that. The last day you can donate and still be eligible for our blood drive is Friday, April 20th. So that's coming up.
It's coming up.
Yeah, it's 11 days from now.
Can you believe that we're coming back around? Now, this event, I think this is now officially, I don't want to talk out of turn here, but I think it's the largest blood drive in the Northeast. I have no idea. Let's just say the universe.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But this is the 13th annual Preston and Steve blood drive. So keep that in mind. Saturday, June 16th. We'll tell you know when you can get signed up for this whole thing. But the last day to be eligible to donate, if the last day that you can donate currently and then be eligible for our drive, is Friday, April 20th. So just a heads up on that.
It's
so,
even though it's a blood drive, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of activities, and we have people we see every year. But if you haven't done it, we saw a lot of newbies last year.
Yep.
Made a big difference.
You can bring the kids.
Bring the kids.
Yeah, we usually have some stuff going on. Real quick, with that, in tandem to that, I got this butt plug from a woman named Teresa, who checked it. I don't mean she sent me a sex toy. I mean, this is a charity plug that we're going to do. She said, "Hey, Preston, I love listening to your show in the morning on the way to work. I especially love the Bizarre Files. Anyway, I was hoping you could do a butt plug. April is National Organ Donor Month, and I myself have had a kidney transplant for 15 years now and received it a few days before my 16th birthday.
Huh.
Also, my brother and sister have received kidney transplants.
Oh, my gosh.
It's amazing.
If you could, just remind people that it is National Organ Donor Month. And to please look into signing over donor cards. They can find more information about organ donation by visiting Gift of Life. The website is donorsone.org. It's www.donorsone.org. And she said that Organ donation has enabled me to live a normal, healthy life and give me a second chance. I encourage everyone to sign.
That's amazing.
Organ donor card. That is from Teresa Ratner, I think is how you say her name. But anyhow, so we'll plug that.
Did you guys get the email over the weekend about this Bucks County resident that stands outside on the side of the road in, I think it's Bristol Road near Jacksonville Road. I think this is Warminster. Did you see that email?
They hold up a sign looking for a donation, a kidney?
Yeah, so apparently this guy goes out every year, and I guess I didn't realize it was organ donation month, so I guess that's why he's out there. But every year during this time, he stands out there with a sign, and people kind of wondered what his story was. So apparently he had a son who died in a traffic accident back in 2008, and his son's organs were donated to 8 different people.
Okay.
Whose lives were saved because of him. So this dad stands out there, and it's called Team Louie is the sign that he holds up, dash for donor awareness, gift of life. Same thing, donorsone.org, and he stands out there just to kind of remind people to be an organ donor.
You saw the story of the hockey team in Canada that died, 15 people killed. The one plus that came out of that story was one of the kids was an organ donor, and 5 of his organs were harvested and apparently headed out right away. To help save other lives. So it's an important thing to think about.
It is, absolutely, to do it. That accident and the shots of the collision scene are just horrific.
Yeah,
How you come back from something like that.
I caught a tease on the news, but I didn't hear the full story, but one of the kids was the kid of a former Flyer. Does anybody know who it was?
I didn't know that.
Yes, see
if you can look that up, because it's a terrible story. But anyhow, like I said, some good did come out of it, because some people are going to be able to benefit from the organ donation that this kid did.
It makes a difference, clearly. Yeah, they had three siblings in one family from what you just read, Preston, who all benefited.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's just, you're going to be a wreck after that. All right, we need to take a break. It's a bit of a downer to end on, but we got to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment or two, reminding you the word is red. You've only got like 2 more minutes to text that into 40772. That is for $1,000. So good luck from MMR's birthday bucks. We will be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us, all right?
93.3 WMMR.
Online, on demand, and on the air.
Including our digital HD signal. The best sounding MMR there is. WMMR HD and HD2. The MM Archives channel.
Hey, you had mentioned Kathy, it was you talking about a guy who holds a sign out on the street.
Yes.
For organ donations.
Yes.
And we actually
got
a tweet from his son, I assume this is. It says Squid. So anyway, it says, hey, you just talked about my dad on the show. He's the guy who walks on Bristol and Jacksonville roads in Ivyland every year. His name is Lenny Stiebles.
Stiebles?
Stiebles. My brother Brett is who he walks for. We've raised over $100,000 for Gift for Life.
That's amazing.
Cool. Yep,
good
that's
for
him.
You guys, man. That's great. I'm happy to hear about that. Thanks for tweeting at us. We appreciate that. Steve has a secret sound he wants me to play for you guys. Now, I know what it is. He knows what it is.
Marissa knows what it is.
Yes, because she dubbed the audio
all
off.
Right, so you guys are the rest of us.
Supposed to try to figure out what this is.
Okay.
Mm. Okay? Or, I'll just play it for you. Tell me what you think this is.
Oh.
It's so obvious you're going to want to kill yourself.
Well, I would say somebody's snoring, but did she loop it?
It's looped. Okay.
It is looped.
Is it slowed down or sped up at all?
Nope.
Regular speed.
If it's looped, I think it's someone snoring.
That's a pretty good guess. No, that's incorrect.
No?
Is it a cat purring?
You're getting in the ballpark, but it's not a cat.
A lion?
No.
You're all around it.
You're all over.
Is it a tiger?
No.
Keep blowing. Keep going. Keep blowing.
Cheetah.
Dog.
It's not a cat. It's not a dog.
Wookie.
It's not a Wookie.
Can the animal live in your house?
It's not an animal.
Yes.
Right? I'm trying to narrow it down.
Okay.
Is it a human being?
It's a human being. Now, who is it?
Is it someone we know?
No.
That you're aware of, though?
Personally, no.
Okay.
What are they doing?
They're purring.
They're purring, mm-hmm. The way humans do.
Is that Khloe Kardashian?
No.
No, that's a bear
hibernating.
You want to make it like 20 questions?
Yes, go ahead.
From this point on?
All right, okay.
All right, go ahead.
Is it a famous person?
Yes. You get to ask another one.
Keep going. Oh, I get to. Is it a woman?
No. Okay. All right, somebody else.
Is Kathy. It a man?
Yes. Well,
you know what?
Hey, in this day and age,
every now and then we'll play. My daughter's not really up to speed on how 20 questions work. So I'm like, you just ruined your question.
Listen, it's not like it used to be.
Okay. Are they? Is this famous person in any way related to the Kardashians and that crew?
No. Nope.
Oh. All right. Does this person have an association with the President of Steve Show?
Nope. I'll do that every time you.
Okay.
The answer,
Casey.
Oh man.
What do we have to?
Would we questions? Know this person mainly from their work on television?
No. Not mainly on their work on television. Yeah.
Kathy.
Is this person an athlete?
No.
Nick. Is this person a musician?
No.
What the? Who is this person? Right.
So well, there's stuff other than TV.
Yeah. Is this person a movie star?
Yes.
Yay.
Go again. Is this person a Oscar winner?
No.
No.
How many questions are we in here?
That's like 100.
That's 2,400.
Is this person making this noise for a movie?
No. I'm just playing around with it now.
Is this person in the Marvel Universe?
Yes.
Ooh, I'm out.
Is this person in Avengers Infinity War?
We haven't seen it. I don't know.
Oh, but probably not.
Well, let's, for as we know, no. Basically, okay. Hasn't been seen in any of the trailers or anything like that.
Okay.
This is so dumb.
It is so dumb, but I love it. Wait, can I be a part of your little secret thing over here?
Yeah,
don't have any Marvel questions.
Oh.
Oh, she's asking. I just don't know. I'll give it a little hint.
Uh-huh. Okay. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not a superhero.
Okay. Okay. So, okay.
What?
All right. Is this person Michael Douglas?
No.
Okay.
He was the original.
He was Hank Pym.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did this person post this sound on social media?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
Themselves.
As part of a series.
I don't know. Is it Michael Douglas?
Again with the Michael Douglas.
Okay, Nick, you can go.
It's tough, right?
Yeah, it's really tough.
How does the FBI do it?
I don't know.
Let's ask about a specific movie. That'll narrow it way down.
Yeah. Okay. Is this person in...
you can even like take a character.
Iron Man.
No.
But hang on.
Not
this...
in the whole Iron Man series. There you go. Okay. I knocked the bunch off.
All right. But real quick, you said he was Hank Pym?
No, he was not Hank Pym.
Okay.
No, Michael Douglas was Hank Pym.
Okay. Yes. All right. Not a superhero in the Marvel Universe. Not necessarily. I got you. And not a superhero. Okay. Is it Mickey Rourke?
No. I just said he's not in the entire Iron Man.
And he's
Man
not
series.
Iron Man. Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
That's why I'm saying narrow it down that way.
Okay.
I'm really trying to help you.
Is this person making an animal noise?
Yeah, he's purring. Yeah.
Another clue, Preston, I'll give?
Is this person?
I can narrow it way down.
Just ask. Is he in the Thor universe?
Is he in the Thor
universe? Yes, he is.
Well, okay, so that's Anthony. No, it's not Anthony.
Oh, wait, I know who it is.
Who is it?
Is it Jeff Goldblum?
Bam!
Yeah!
Boom! Here's the whole clip.
To all you chill seekers, here comes some stimulation that might induce your chills. Be receptive to my voice.
So what it is, he's doing an ASMR
right.
video.
Okay.
And so he's using a very sensitive microphone. And in fact, in the original clip, which we don't have it set up, it pans left and right.
Yeah.
Which when you listen to ASMR videos, they have these left and right channel microphones. And so it goes from ear to ear and it feels like somebody's actually behind you and purring in your ear and
does
things
it,
like that.
Does it work for you when he
doesn't
does that?
Do anything?
It doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah,
this sound is not working
not,
for you.
It does not trigger my ASMR at
what
all.
What about Gal Gadot's video?
It's really sexy, but the whispering thing does not work for me. Some people, they love it, but it's not. It doesn't trigger my ASMR.
I don't have what you have, Preston, but I think I can appreciate what you have because I hear certain sounds and I think, man, Preston would like this. Like a car driving on gravel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very much
like
so.
Like Gal Gadot driving on gravel?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm all in on that. Angela and I were texting back and forth a little bit about that stuff this weekend, too.
Perfetto. Do you think Angela would dig Jeff Goldblum purring?
I don't know. I don't know if the talking stuff or the voice stuff does anything for her.
It's not,
But her and I have similar triggers.
Okay.
You know,
but they're not usually voice provoked.
No. But there are a lot of videos of celebrities doing these things now. I saw one. Cara Delevingne was doing one. Gal Gadot.
Do you think, do they please so much that you start to get into the sexual realm?
I don't think
so. Do you get like aroused?
I never, ever. It doesn't do anything for me in that way.
No wood?
Oh, here's the video of them, of this panned. Hang on a second. No, it's still.
It's panned right down the middle.
It's right down the middle. Yeah, that doesn't go left and right. You can hear it of yours left and right, Marissa? Oh, no. Sorry. Nope, not working over here. All right, anyhow, yeah, if you're interested, there are plenty of clips like that of people doing those things on YouTube. Now, there's another piece of audio. This is a little more straight ahead. Chadwick Boseman was on Saturday Night Live over the weekend, and they did Black Jeopardy with him as T'Challa,
which is
the character from Black Panther. It was really well done.
It was.
So they had categories like, oh, hell no, and so
it's
on.
It's hell nah.
Hell nah.
Hell nah.
Grown ass.
Yeah. Grown ass. Yeah. What was the one? Oh, man.
Fidna.
That was it. Yeah. All right, so I have a clip of him. He's so great. And that accent, I love the accent. It's so great.
It's perfect. And this particular one I thought was just cracked me up. It was him. It was Leslie Jones and the new guy who was in Pop Star Never Stop Never Stopping.
Chris Redd is his name.
Here we go.
Today's contestants are Shanice.
Hey.
Rashad.
What's Craig?
And this is so exciting. All the way from Wakanda is T'Challa.
I am a big fan of this program.
Well, this might be the blackest Black Jeopardy yet. Let's take a look at our categories.
Let's stick with Fina for 400.
All right. This is the reason your cable bill is in your grandmama's name. Oh, T'Challa.
What is to honor her is the foundation of the family.
That's really nice. It's wrong. But that's really nice. Anybody else? The reason your cable bill is in your grandmama's name. Shanice.
What is? Because I'm finna get a car and I don't need all that on my credit.
I feel you. Yeah, your grandmama ain't gonna need that good credit too much longer.
Yeah. It's a funny bit, so if you get a chance to check it out, I love it.
Well, you know, the Wakanda features prominently, of course, in the Infinity Wars coming up, so we'll see how that plays out.
So they're running a whole bunch of commercials during. Did you guys see the Solo trailer?
Yes.
Yeah, it came out yesterday.
I haven't seen it yet. No.
So the first couple of trailers, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
This one has me excited.
Yep.
Yeah, they're both up on PresidentSteve.com, so you can watch a Solo, a Star Wars story, and also Black Jeopardy.
And it looks like Chewbacca's macking on another Wookiee.
Yes, Chewbacca has a girlfriend.
Yeah, Chewbacca's got a girlfriend.
I saw a screenshot of that. Yeah, it looks interesting.
I wonder how they do it.
Oh, there's got to be a penis in there somewhere.
Somewhere, right?
Right?
You just have to look for it.
And all that hair?
Yeah.
Even birds have penises. You don't see those.
True.
So
they do?
Yeah.
Even birds have penises. Highly, highly ho.
I think they do, don't they?
Of course they do.
I don't know.
Something. I mean, just not unless they... Bird has to have a penis of some sort.
Yeah, I believe they do.
My kids are... I should say my son, he's obsessed lately with breeding two separate dogs to get a hybrid dog.
Okay.
All right, so he wants...
What's he working on
here? He wants a husky and a boxer.
Okay.
And he wants to... So he's talking about this, and then my youngest daughter says, well, why can boy dogs have puppies? And I said, we're going to have to talk about this later. So we go into a store, and we come back out, and she goes, okay, it's later. Can you tell me why? I go, we're going to have to wait until you're 15.
Let's go get ice cream.
You have to wait until later.
15? Yeah, let's go get ice cream. Let's that was Kathy's what? Mom's method. Yep.
Once you've been married for 3 years, we'll talk.
Ice cream. Wow. Well, also on over the weekend, which I didn't know they were going to do this, but TLC had a Trading Spaces marathon, and my episode aired over the weekend.
I couldn't. I was like, what? We had no indication this was going to happen. I thought they're just going to premiere the the Trading Spaces.
They should have told us.
Yeah. Right? We would have promoted it.
Casey texted me, at like noon. And he's like, dude, your episode's on at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
really? No kidding? I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. Because I responded because Casey posted it on Twitter and I said, get ready for Fat Preston. Because I was huge, man.
You and I both.
Huge. But I had big old double chin and it was kind of hard to watch, actually.
Yeah, did you have a hard time, really?
No, I looked horrible.
It looked like you in a suit pretending, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
A different person.
Yeah.
Totally.
It was weird.
I'm surprised that you don't have the take of, I look good now, and this makes me feel better about where I am now.
Well, your health, just on a health level, you're much better. But the truth of the matter is, you were happy.
I was a fat, jolly person. No, yeah. Casey, I have the attitude of go past this. In fact, don't ever play this part again.
Edit this out.
Yeah. You saw intern Joe on the episode.
Yeah, you did see Joe. And there were a couple like engineers who I don't even remember.
Mark Humphreys.
Was Mark in there?
Mark was there at one point. Yeah, because, you know what?
There's not much of the actual of our show.
Very little.
We were doing our show live from your neighbor's yard because it was part of the deal. You know, you guys trade your spaces, so to speak. And we thought they seemed to be shooting a lot of the show, but not a lot of the Y100 version of the Preston and Steve show ended up in Trading Spaces.
Yeah, next to nothing.
Yeah.
Hardly. Y100 hat on.
I did. I wore that on purpose. I wore that to get the logo in as much as possible. I was trying to do promoting.
We had the show there for a couple of days, right?
Yeah.
2 days, yeah. Two or three.
Two mornings, yeah.
Wife looks like $1 million.
She looked great. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I got to try and figure out who this other engineer was because Eric Simon had posted a screen capture of, and he said, wouldn't this be great to have this for the Camp Out for Hunger because it was our live broadcast.
I think that was Todd that posted that.
Either way, it was us just sitting around a table. It was one table.
Now,
yeah.
But I'm in that photo.
Yeah. What?
I'm in that photo, and I was not a part of
Trading Spaces.
The Trading Spaces. I think that Casey was at the TH Properties.
That had to be probably. Yeah. Really? You weren't part of the show, right?
Okay. Well, now I got to look this
Kathy
up.
Was just 12 years old.
Maybe that's not me.
I think that's intern Joe.
No, that's Joe. I'm sorry. I thought the guy with the baseball cap in the back was me, but it's not. No,
that's not you. This was definitely at the Trading Spaces event. So.
Here's how, when they reveal the kitchen, that...
Here's your kitchen.
Actually, man.
And Rochelle goes, I love it!
Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah?
No, we liked it at the time. We worked really hard, and we were dead-ass tired, and we were ready for it to be over, and it was a crazy new look, but we're like, wow, this pops, you know?
You know what?
So we were excited about it.
It actually did pop. When you were looking at it, you're like, okay, well, this looks good. And I thought as they were painting the cabinets black, I'm like, okay, well, that does work.
Yeah.
It just didn't match the rest of your house.
Yes.
That was the problem.
Yep, exactly.
It was a disaster. No, it was at the time. Yeah, you were legitimately excited. They did a full transformation. It was just that shrapnel backsplash that was not the good idea.
Yeah.
Broken mirrors.
But it was a cool experience all the way around. We loved that show, and to actually be on it was pretty fun. And we had been, watching it for as long, right when it had started. So we were just all over it.
I forget, how did your neighbors like the house or what you guys did?
I don't remember.
It looked great.
Do you still talk to those neighbors?
They liked it. Yeah, from time to time. Yeah. They still live in Delaware County. We're a bit of...
You're still suing each other.
No, we're still a bit of a ways apart distance-wise. So we don't see each other that often anymore. But yeah, we're still friends with them, which is cool. I didn't know they were going to roll all those episodes. And I guess did they show new ones yet? Or
yeah. So that night, they had it returned that night. Did your kids watch this with you, Press?
Yes.
What did they think?
Oh, they were blown away by how fat I was.
Oh, really?
Were they ripping you apart?
No, they were just wow. They're like, Dad, that doesn't even look like you. And
yeah,
you know, stuff like that. They thought it was funny.
It's not me,
of course. And I mean, it was like. It was like 13, 14 years ago that took place. So it was a bit of a...
Oh, they were... Yeah.
I was trying to figure out...
Carter was, I think, like 1 year old.
Whether or not Carter was born yet.
Yeah. So he doesn't remember at all.
That's pretty cool. Well, you were busy. You were watching the Masters over the weekend, right?
Yes. I watched that. I watched the whole thing. Yeah, I've decided this. I'm going to leading up to the Masters, I'm going to have just a ton of laundry to do because it's a perfect thing to watch and fold your laundry.
Right.
Because it's not like like a hockey game where you have to watch every second of everything moving, but it's just kind of on, and you look up at it every now and then, and you can get some things done. So that's what I'm going to do next year. Honey, a month out, we're not doing any laundry.
Stop. Well, it's a long, long journey from the image days, right?
Yeah, right.
Right. I thought you said you wanted to go to it next year.
Actually, you're right. I do.
We'll bring your laundry.
Yeah.
Do you want to go with me?
I think that would be amazing. My question is this. Are the dates already set?
That's a good Probably. Question. Yeah. I would think they would be.
Okay.
I'll look into that.
Yeah, sometimes they can't get the course.
Yeah.
There was some stuff floating around over the weekend about stuff that you can and cannot do at Augusta, and you're not allowed to wear hats backwards. Speaking of hats, all the prices are the same. That they've been for years. So, like, a beer is $2 or $3.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow,
they don't
really?
Change any of that yep. stuff. Yeah. And they
cool.
really are beholden to tradition there.
Kathy just got into the conversation with the cheap drinks.
Yeah, wow. Well, I can get hammered.
Any sporting event you go to, I mean, $10 to $15 for a drink.
Right. Yeah.
Per drink.
You can only ask for autographs in one specific spot on the course.
Can I have an autograph?
Over here.
Over here. Dilly dilly.
You can't say that.
You know what? Speaking of sayings, I meant to bring this up a little while back, but this might be a good opportunity to wedge this in here along those lines. If you are, and because Casey does this, and I learned this when we were in the Poconos, if you are watching a sporting event, and typically basketball is perfect for it because there's a moment where somebody's about to do a free throw. So you know there's a shot coming. And also it could work for pitches, I would imagine,
yes.
too. Will you say like a jinx phrase to, you know, throw some juju on
yeah.
the... On the player
you miss it.
To make him yeah exactly yeah. But like even if you're watching it on TV because Casey does something that I did not know about it and he we were watching a game he does this and he also called his brother to confirm it while we were there. Were you in the room?
We were playing at this was when, after the snowstorm
yeah we were playing cards
yeah Jack yeah. Frost.
All right, so the Sixers game was on
right
and I forgot who they were playing but some of the other team was up for a free throw and Casey goes watch this and then he says this. I'm sorry, say that one more time. So he says that before shooting a basket.
And it works?
Well, it maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When it works, it works.
Yes, exactly.
Right. And then there are times when it doesn't work.
Yeah, but even if it doesn't work, I still do it.
But do you want to explain the origin? Because we then had him call his brother.
I wanted you guys just to know that I wasn't just making that up, that this is something that I literally have been doing for 30 years or more. And actually, what my brother and I had talked about it afterwards, and I was wrong about the origin of where that comes from.
Okay.
So the origin, so I always saw it because you guys know how my farts have personality, and they sound like a little bit weird. You got, then.
But a lot of Casey's farts sound like this. They go.
Yeah. So I inherited that. For my dad. My dad's fart sounded like...
Son, I want you to have something.
But Steve, that's their impression of his dad's fart.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
That's the impression of my dad's
fart.
So
how did that become associated with something that would throw off someone at the taking a foul shot?
Because my brother was playing like 2-shot 21 with Billy Bartow around the corner from our house. And Billy was shooting a free throw. And just as he was about to shoot, my brother farted, and it sounded like, and he missed the foul shot. And so then he brought that over to, we had a basketball court in our driveway, and
it brought
it there,
stuck.
And it stuck, and it's something we've been doing ever since.
But mm-hmm. at an actual game, it wouldn't be loud enough to.
No, it's more of it's more of a curse.
A curse.
Mm-hmm. It's not
like an evil eye.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
It's so not, you're not actually trying to throw off the
if
player.
If you're watching TV, you're just throwing a little throwing a little hex on them. If you
did it work that time that you did it up in the Poconos?
It did.
Yeah, it did.
As a matter of fact, it did.
And so he goes, watch this. And so he called Kevin, his brother, and just goes, Kevin, what do we say when somebody's about to shoot a foul shot? And you just hear on the other end of the phone line, what a quarf. And we died laughing.
So I do this at my kids' basketball games. So, I coach my daughter and son's basketball games. I don't say it loud enough so that the person shooting can hear it, but I say it. And so now my kids know that I do it. They haven't. I don't think the legacy continues. Well, we're going to try and pass this along. And, and you guys, listen, anybody can use it if they want to because it works.
It's not trademarked.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. 50% of the time it works, 100%
every time.
It all comes back to farts.
We used to say, and there's no reason behind him, Danny, my friend, and I used to say.
Whoop Danny.
Yep. We used to say lollipops.
For when?
For when somebody, when you needed to jinx somebody. The same thing would work for, you know, bowling or whatever. Somebody's about to, where you have a clear indication that they're about to, you know, throw a pitch, roll a ball, shoot a ball, whatever. And we would say it like, lollipop.
What did you do?
You'd have to say it like that.
What was lucky strike you did when you guys were playing?
Good luck.
Good luck.
Oh.
Now, that's from a movie.
Right. Yes, that's from Kingpin.
That's from Kingpin. Good luck.
And you freaked out, didn't you?
So, yeah,
it was because it was I had to make a certain amount of pins. It was the last roll
in order to beat him. Before he even shot, he goes, "Don't razz me," because he knows me.
Yeah.
He knows me so well. He's like, "Dude, don't razz me." And I'm like, "No, what? I would never razz you. No."
And then he did it like a douchebag wearing a flat brim hat.
Good luck.
Yeah.
And then did you screw it up?
Yeah.
He needed 9. He got 8. You know something? Like
I don't remember.
Good. I remember that one hung for a while. Yeah.
It was a defining moment in our relationship.
Yeah. It's it still stings kind of the way Delco versus Buxco still stings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
well, we might be hang on. Let me go to Alex. Hey, Alex. Good morning.
Hey guys. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Alex?
So talking about the Masters and jinx phrases, there is this great clip on YouTube of Tiger Woods, and every time he swings, a guy in the audience screams at the top of his lungs, "Mashed potatoes."
Mashed potatoes. Is this after he swings?
As soon as the club makes contact with the ball, this guy just screams, "Mashed potatoes." And it's become a common thing in my group of friends to scream "mashed potatoes" as a sort of a jinx phrase.
Okay.
All right. So, but if they were yelling that before the contact was made, you'd be thrown out, right?
Oh, yeah, so it's actually happening at the event?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah, some people, I was telling you guys last week, some people will yell out phrases when a golfer hits a ball.
So they know it's them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they can listen back or they can record it and see later on that was me.
Let me tell you something.
I'm the mashed potato guy.
On the Masters, I really got, you had contacted me, Preston, about how well the recording of the golf swings were, whatever the mic placement was. And so I tuned over, I DVR'd it so I can grab it so we can have some good effects. But, man, you get a real appreciation for that. Whing!
Oh, my God.
Like, you see, there is a giant microphone that they have right at the tee box.
But I've never heard it like that, like a crack.
Yeah.
And ding! And then the thing just shoots up like a rocket.
The club head speed that those guys have is just, it's unbelievable. And it doesn't even look like they're swinging that hard.
Yeah.
And the ball goes 320 yards. It's obscene how far they hit.
Well, yeah. I mean, when they're shooting, like their pitching wedge, right? My pitching wedge is like 115 yards. Their pitching wedge is like 160.
Oh, yeah. So, Casey, yesterday, I forgot who it was hitting 176 yards in 9-iron.
Mm-hmm.
So that's hard, I assume, correct?
That's 140 for me.
Okay.
176 yards. Suck it.
Did we ever figure out what Jack Nicklaus's grandson was using for that par 3?
No.
Okay.
I didn't look at
that. Golf clubs, I guess.
Probably
right?
Golf clubs, yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't a hockey stick.
I mean, the sport calls for it.
Right.
It was a great week for, or weekend for sports.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Friday night, I watched the entire Sixers game.
That was great. Listen, I was at a birthday party. And, like, everybody was in another room, and I just kind of was – I don't think I was antisocial. It was a big game.
Yeah.
You know? So it was and I definitely – I did that on Friday night.
But did you really?
Yes, I always do.
What was it like in the
– I went to the game – well, the Sixers game I watched at home.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, the Flyers game I went to with my son on Saturday, and first of all, I had great seats, so thanks to the Flyers because they hooked it up, which was really nice. But second of all – when we sat down in the first few minutes, it was tense. And then the Flyers went and beat the crap out of the Rangers, and everybody had a really good time. They ended up winning 5-0. Drew had a hat trick, and all was right with the world. So we knew that we were going to make the playoffs if we won. Didn't have to worry about what Florida Panthers did, and Flyers won, and they won easily.
So you have a 5-0 shutout, a hat trick from Drew.
Yeah.
And then the Phils won 20-1, I believe.
Two grand slams and a 3-run home run. And And then they lost.
Yeah,
right?
But, that's the nature of the beast.
Baseball,
yeah,
but yeah, 20-1 drubbing on Saturday night.
I don't. Are we entering? Well, you don't want to. I don't even know if this.
Well,
is
listen,
a
we're in a good. We're in a good position. We're in a good position for everything. Philadelphia sports right now. Listen, and this is the way I felt with the Eagles going into the playoffs. Obviously, I would have been upset if they would have lost any of those playoff games or the Super Bowl. But I felt like we were playing with house money. You know, prior to that season, we were, you know, picked to maybe win 8, maybe 9 games or something like that. The Sixers, I think people were going to be happy prior to the season if they were just an 8 seed. You know, now they're going to be at the very least a 4 seed and home court for the first round at least or whatever. I don't necessarily know what the thoughts were, Nick, for the Flyers prior to this season.
They're hoping for the playoffs. It's the NHL. I mean, any team really can make it. But it was even better that the Rangers ended up in last place, so I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, I don't like how they do the NHL playoffs. Nah. I don't like that at all. It should be, you know, 1 seed versus 8 seed, 2 versus 7, and they don't do it that way.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan either. But Jess Skaversky of 6ABC had a great tweet over the weekend, and Preston, I brought it up in front of the screen if you wanted to read it.
Yeah, it says, last 9 weeks in Philly, Eagles win first Super Bowl, Eagles parade, Philly sign Jake Arrieta, Villanova wins third title, first city ever to win, SB and men's CBB champ in same year.
Super Bowl, college basketball.
Oh, all right, thanks. Villanova parade, Sixers clinch playoffs, Flyers clinch playoffs, Philly score 20 runs. That's a hell of a week.
That is pretty amazing.
A hell of 9 weeks, I should say. The last couple months have been fantastic. So it's a good spot, man. It's a really comfy place to be.
We're not used to it.
No.
No. A lot of people walking around stunned. What the hell?
Yeah, so it's a wonderful thing. All right. Anyhow, listen, we need to take ourselves a quick break. A reminder, we got a trip to Vegas, which we're going to give away on Friday for Word of the Week prize. We'll get some details when Pierre gets in here. When we do that, we have another event that we're going to release. We had made an announcement about the blood drive.
Yes.
Which is coming up this summer in June, by the way. Where's that date? It is June 16th, so mark your calendar on that. But there's another event you're going to want to hear about coming up at the end of the program today when Pierre gets here. So we want to make sure you don't miss out on that. We'll be back in just a second. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love diamond engagement ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
You know, you look forward to your weekends and being able to do what you want to do leisurely, and then you have to go to the hospital.
Or spending it in the ER.
Mm-hmm. That always sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Do tell, Kathy.
Jace ran face first into a wall in his Flash costume.
Oh, my God.
This shouldn't be as funny as it is.
I know. You know what? Fortunately, it looked, and we thought originally it was much worse than it actually was. So all that happened was he knocked his two front teeth out, which were baby teeth anyway. And they were loose, you know, coming along. But, yeah, so they're out.
Just got fast-tracked.
Fast-tracked, right, yeah. Exactly. And the other teeth, the you know, his adult teeth that were coming in were fine, and he has some, you know, a couple of cuts inside of his mouth, but for the most part is fine. We thought it was going to be way worse.
I can't help but chuckle and smile because I, as a superhero, injured myself multiple ways as a kid, you know, running into things and trying to jump things and fly over things and Spider-Man over things.
So he was in the Flash costume and he does this, you know, lightning flash run, and he like runs and then gets to a point and just comes to like a dead stop.
Yes.
And he's been
Which is what the Flash does.
Right.
Yeah. Flash is like zip. He zips in. Boom. He's right there. So he stops.
Right.
So on a dime.
That's what he's been doing. And he's been doing it up and down the hallway from my bedroom to his bedroom. And so, yeah,
the video is so cute of him because he's like
you know, full force running as fast as he can, but walls don't move.
Right. Yeah. So he had sneakers on it, and I think the sneakers kind of got caught as he tried to stop, and he, like, and it was like a hard, you know, a hard fall, and he didn't have time to put his hands out. So, yeah. Teeth went right into the wall.
Oh, like, no. So,
tears
so,
immediately. Like.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah, so he does not do well with blood. And he actually, so he has seen.
I'm the fastest man on earth.
I know. I wonder where he gets it from. But he's seen my niece get hurt before, and he started to pass out by looking at the blood.
Oh, he's right. He's you.
He's me, basically. Yeah. So the fact that there was a lot of blood and he could see it, you know, because I obviously put the some paper towels to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
And so as I was taking them away and switching out paper towels, he could see it. And so he started to, like, almost pass out. And
how were you, Kath?
You know what? I was okay. Like, immediately you want to freak out, but I just.
I wonder if I have any appearance.
I know. God, I got to make some more money.
Well, because it's important, you know, even if you are freaking out on the inside, for you to be calm.
Oh,
totally.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I have a hard time looking at it, so, like, I couldn't. Yeah. We were with some of our neighbors, and two of my neighbors are doctors, so they both came over, and,
okay,
you know, and they looked, and they said, listen, you know, it doesn't look terrible, but go and get it checked out. It doesn't hurt to go and get it checked out. So we actually went to the CHOP ER in King of Prussia.
Oh, yeah.
They cater to superheroes.
Yeah, yeah. So they have a whole Marvel department.
Well, and listen, and we show up in the
DC, I should say.
In the ER with the Flash costume still on with blood dripping down onto the Flash costume.
Wow, man.
Well, it's red, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. Yeah.
Hey, we were in the ER, or I was with Seamus not too long ago. Avery had dropped a pipe on his face.
That's right, the PVC pipe.
And he needed stitches in his eyebrow. And the thing is, when that happens and they're asking questions, they're asking the kid questions. I'm just like, all right, do they think I did this?
Yeah,
you know
yes.
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Is that what they're getting at here? And I felt like, because.
Did your mother put you in that Flash costume after?
Well, did you feel like that at all? Like,
no.
Because, all right, because they ask the kid questions and they're like, you want to interject as a parent, like, well, this is what happened. You know?
No, but they did ask him the questions for sure. Yeah. And
sure.
He answered, he said, I bashed my face on the wall being Flash.
Being Flash.
Is that your father out there with the flat brimmed hat?
Yeah, and how are you with comforting as far as, see, because I get it all wrong.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
What do you do?
I got it from my dad. So
shake it off.
No, not shake it off, but I'll look at it and get, yeah, that looks pretty bad. I'll be like, you know, Rochelle's like, okay, it's fine. Everything's going to be okay. I'm like, yeah that looks pretty bad. Probably going to need stitches for that.
No,
I
don't
know
if you're
going to ever be able to. They might have to set the bone on that one, you know?
No. No.
You're always going to have to eat through a straw. I can't imagine.
I can't help it. I'm like,
women attracted to you, probably not going to happen.
But I'm always like, it's bleeding pretty good. Yeah,
probably
we're going
to have to take a jaw.
Oh, my God. No, of course. I'm like, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. We're going to have a great doctor look at it.
I don't think you should have survived this.
Did you guys both, though?
The merciful thing would have been for you to die, but, you know, you'll go on and live.
There was one time where I was running around playing as a kid, and I ran into, there was a wasp flying, and I just happened to be running at the wrong time. It landed, got me right below my eye.
Oh, my God.
You collided with a wasp.
Collided with a wasp, and it stung me right below my eye.
Oh, man.
Which, you can imagine, was extremely painful. And, you know, after I'm going through all the pain and everything, and my dad says something like, I had a friend when I was a kid. He got stung, almost lost his eye from that. And I was like, who will lose my eye?
You better get used to an eye patch because it doesn't look good. But your dad must have savored the ability to take a crack at doing some eye surgery.
But I inherited whatever that gene is of not being able to use the proper words to comfort them and just saying the obvious, yeah, that's bleeding pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to level with you, kid. It's not looking good.
Was it both of you guys at the ER?
Yeah, both sitting there.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right, so his teeth, let me ask you about the teeth. So were they still in his mouth, or did they come out on the ground, or were they dangling by that little bit and you had to yank it out?
They didn't fall out on the ground. They were, like, jacked up, like, almost pushed up a little bit and, like, snaggle tooth. Like, one was going one way, the other. And that's what I found.
That's so cool.
So hard to look at. No, I didn't pull them out. He actually pushed the one out on the way to the hospital, and then the other one came out the following morning.
It's amazing he didn't break his nose.
Oh, thank God. Thank you. I mean, when I tell you, there was so much blood. I thought, this is going to be, I don't know what it is, but it's going to be bad. And, I mean, no stitches, nothing. He has a few little cuts in the mouth. And, of course, we were a little concerned about a concussion, too.
What about the carpet?
No.
Well, I was thinking, listen, what about the tooth fairy?
He was so excited the next day that I got the blood out of the Flash costume.
Ah, there
yes,
you go.
Yes, Casey, tooth fairy came.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of coin does a, when a tooth is knocked out, that you get more coin for that?
I mean, you'll probably get mad at me, but
you get a settlement.
At the tooth fairy, but she brought $20.
Yes. Tooth fairy always brought $20 for the first tooth. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was more because it got knocked.
Yeah, when you get it, when it gets knocked
I was hosed. I got a quarter. Dude. I had a tooth come out on the show. I should have gotten $1,000.
$20 ends up back in your pocket anyway. But
Jesus.
Steve, I had a superhero injury when I was a kid. I was,
did you?
Yeah, I was doing the Superman on the swings.
Of course, where you lay down on the swings.
Yes.
And you fly.
You know how Superman often flies forward and in reverse.
Yes, and I was in sixth grade, so I was probably a little old to be doing it, but I was doing it anyway and went back way too far and just slid forward face first right into ice and gravel.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was a nasty time of year. I got a concussion from it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Here's somebody text in and said, we had a friend whose son who did the same thing, meaning what Jace did, Kathy. Tripped face first into the wall, but teeth actually stuck in the drywall.
God.
Wow.
Awesome.
How does his face out? Honestly, stop and think about it. How do you get that angle when your nose... Right?
I guess if you come down almost on it.
And fortunately, your teeth snapping back protects your nose.
Well, and you know what? There was a chip from the paint from the wall that was stuck in one of the teeth. Yep, that was stuck in one of the teeth.
Yeah. I'm going to have to repaint the wall.
The doctor goes, that's a nice color. Yeah. What is that?
Can I take that chip?
I want my foyer to look this.
They'll match it at Home Depot.
I'm going to go to Ben. Hey, Ben, good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, Ben. What's your story, man?
Hey, yes. So in ninth grade, I love climbing trees.
Yep.
And I was about 50 feet up in a tree one time, and the branch broke. And I fell and fractured my skull, my neck, my back.
Oh, my God.
Had my right leg and punctured my right lung.
Jesus.
And I had to get airlifted to CHOP. Wow. And so that night when my dad finally got in to the hospital down at CHOP, he basically walked in, and the first thing he says when he looks at me, he says, you know, Ben, it would have been cheaper for a funeral.
Oh, my God. Thanks, Dad.
It's like, Dad, some way, just do that. When my brother had a concussion falling off the balance beam, you know, in elementary school, because we're all practice gymnasts when we're in second or third grade. Anyway, he fell off. He got the concussion. My dad comes home from work, and Tom got a concussion at school today. And my dad goes, "Oh, God damn it!" And I'm standing there, and I go, "Kids and their concussions, right?"
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why my dad hated my guts for many years.
Well, I've actually taken a couple of pages out of your book. When my kids cry, I ask them what's so funny.
I'm crying. Oh, I'm sorry. It just drives him nuts.
Uh-huh.
Why are you laughing? I'm crying!
No, it's so funny.
That's so mean.
I would never.
That is so mean.
Never do that.
Like a kid pulling his eyes out. What's so funny?
Right.
I'm crying! Oh.
They don't find it funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I do. I love your sense of humor, Steve.
Thank you. That's why I'd be a horrible parent.
Let me go to Joe. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Morning, guys. How are you today?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Same thing happened to my daughter a couple of years ago. She was using two chairs as a set of swings and, you know, rocking back and forth on her arm. She fell and smacked her jaw on our slate. She knocked in. Thank God she had her baby teeth. Then she knocked out four baby teeth, broke the top of her mouth. So it was pretty, it was pretty traumatic. You know, blood everywhere. I was screaming like a little girl, but we got to the hospital, and I guess to Casey's point, where, you know, they were questioning her, they were questioning us, you know, trying to get me and my wife's story straight, you know, what happened. I was like, I feel like saying no, I took a bat to my daughter's jaw for no reason, but I was like, there were questions. Like, it was getting kind of like nerve wracking at the point they were just constantly questioning us. But my daughter, thank God she could talk, and, you know, she kind of told the doctor what happened.
Now, be glad that they do question, though, Joe, because there could be abuse going on, and you know. But I know what you mean. My daughter, two times she had broken her elbow. And when we took her into, you know, to have a look at, they made sure that they got the story from her about exactly what had happened.
It's like in The Sixth Sense when she brings in Haley Joel Osment. He's got the injuries. It's actually M. Night Shyamalan playing the doctor who interviews her, you know.
So actually we have had, between my two daughters, we had these things called nursemaid's elbow. And
yes.
What is that?
Yep. So, it, I mean, it's essentially, it's just a dislocation of, like, where the elbow is, you know, the ulna or whatever. And it's super, super painful, but it's really easy to set. And they call it nursemaid's elbow because a lot of times kids will get it from parents yanking on their kids' arms, like, get over here, right?
Oh, wow.
I saw a woman do it to her kid at the supermarket last week.
Oof.
And I was,
And
all he wanted, so they were trying to give him the Monopoly cards to play at the, you know, and he went to go grab them.
Yeah.
And she was like, get over here. I was like, oh, he just wanted these, you know. But that's not what happened with us. We weren't yanking our children's arms. The one time my wife was just taking a dress off of my daughter and just the dress yanked it. And then the other time
heard of this.
Yeah, she was falling out of her chair. And she went to brace herself, and it came undone. Steve, they just turn the arm, and then they bend it, and it goes right back in.
Pops right back in, and
it's not painful anymore.
Ow. Hang on a second. I want to go to Justin. Justin, good morning, sir.
Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, my man. What's up?
All right. No, I didn't know if you guys wanted, like, a teeth-knocking-out story.
Sure. We'll take it. Yeah.
Well, I got two. I got when I was three or four, I think what happened was, I had skates on my hands, like roller skates, and I was kind of just rolling across the floor using it and, like, pulling my knees along behind. Yeah, I wasn't smart. I rolled into a coffee table after losing control and knocked out three of my teeth on the corner of the coffee table.
Were they baby teeth or permanent teeth?
They were baby teeth, thank goodness.
Okay.
A few years later, I think going up the steps, I used to live in Philly, so going up the little concrete stoop in front of the house, I tripped and fell face forward and then jammed more of the teeth up into my gum.
Oh, my God.
That's what I was worried about.
That the tooth would go up into the gum?
Yeah.
Yeah, then you need surgery.
Yep.
Yeah, I messed up my teeth so many times as a kid. It was not pleasant.
It's amazing how that happens, though. That it has to be the exact right angle because, again, you'd think the nose would, you know, take the initial damage of a face plant.
Mm. I knocked out a friend of mine's teeth by accident.
Oh, me too.
How? Really?
Oh, man.
Both of you.
One of them. So it was a friend of mine, Tony, and he was over my house. And we were like fifth, sixth grade or something like that. And he was laying on the floor on his back, and he had headphones on. He's listening to some music or something like that. And we had a pool table. And I didn't realize that he couldn't hear me. And so he's laying on his back, and I grab a cue ball.
Oh, no.
And I go, hey, catch. And it landed on his chest. I thought he was going to catch it with his hand, so that's where I was throwing it to. Landed on his chest, bounce, boom.
Oh, stop.
Knocked his freaking front tooth out, man. I mean, out all the way.
Feel it in my teeth.
It broke it in half.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Oh, man, I felt horrible.
Hey, remember playing King of the Hill? Remember that game? Yeah, yeah, we used to play in this guy's yard. He didn't have any kids. He just had a hill.
Young fellas like to play over here?
It actually had nothing.
I'll make you some Kool-Aid.
But we used to play King of the Hill at this guy's hill all the time. But this particular day was the day we saw Karate Kid. And I crane kicked Matt in the face. Matt was his name. Yeah. I crane kicked him right in the face, knocked his tooth out.
Was he trying to make it to the top of the hill?
No, we were both at the top of the hill.
Oh my God. So you kicked him off?
And what do you had to go?
We just saw Karate Kid.
No,
man.
I'm not defending you. You're right.
Yeah, you are. You are right. But hang on. Set the stage here. So
I don't necessarily think we were playing King of the Hill at the time. I think we were just doing Karate Kid.
You're just doing Karate Kid, and Matt was...
We were both, and I was Danny LaRusso, and he was Johnny.
Yeah.
And I crane kicked him right in the face.
So you full on put the arms up in the
sneakers
wing,
on
wing
and everything.
Put him in a body bag.
And then you popped him in the face. That's pretty good kick, Case.
I know. But, like, the thing is, like, we weren't necessarily fighting. You know, we were, like, shadow, you know, fighting or whatever.
Yeah, full contact shadow fighting.
So what happened in the aftermath?
Well, he lost his tooth, and then he ran home. You know, it was like, I don't even know if
Matt's running home.
Yeah.
But he had to, if he was running home with a bloody mouth, I'm sure he said, Casey.
What Casey year? Crane kicked me in the face.
Yeah, totally.
What year was this?
84?
84.
So what happened?
I was 9. He was 8.
Yeah. Did his mom come over?
No.
But at the end of the day, you were king of the hill.
I was. You're right.
So you never got to talking to about that?
No.
Wow.
Just kids will be teed kids. Out.
Well, yeah. No, listen, it's fine. But generally, my parents want an injury report if I'm coming home with a bloody mouth.
How did this happen again?
You know?
Well, we were crane kicking each other because of Karate Kid.
Well, and that's the thing. You ended up, whatever movie you just watched, you end up reenacting that. Like, I remember we...
How many ways, though, with that as a kid, how many ways should we have been dead?
Yeah.
Reenacting movies.
We broke a table. We were renting a house in Longport, and we went and saw Break-In, and we ended up breaking a coffee table trying to windmill in the living room of that house.
Windmill?
Yeah. Remember, like, that's the one where you kind of, like, you spin and...
Oh, breakdancing.
Yeah, okay. Breakdancing. Right. Yeah.
Could you do it?
No. God, no.
You could break a table.
You could break a table.
Preston, I'm thinking of the video we were watching this morning of I think it's Sri Lanka's Got Talent.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a karate guy who's, they're breaking boards over his arms, so he's doing a total split.
Yep.
And then he grabs what I guess a whole bunch of boards and slams them back into his head and knocks himself out. And then he gets up. But he's like, he's still going to continue doing, and everyone's going, no.
Steve absolutely cracked me up because he goes into the voice as if he's the guy who goes, wait a minute, I haven't even done the thing with the fire yet.
Watch, you'll see. So they're breaking over. Nick, if you could put this up on the web. And I think the guy, to his credit, I think he has some sort of
a physical handicap.
So it's an amazing thing that he's able to do. But
he does have talent.
Is he doing this over a bed of nails?
Yeah, it looks like it. So they're watching him.
But watch, Casey. So he grabs his own board, slams himself in the head. Boop. Up. Knocks himself out, falls down, lands on his back.
Now watch, he gets
up. Is he knocked out?
He's knocked out.
Oh, God, yeah, he is. Oh, my God. Oh.
And he gets up, and he's once he comes to, they walk. He walks to the front of the stage and starts to continue. The actor's like, no.
He's pushing him away, saying,
I'm okay.
I'm not done yet, so.
No.
I still got to do the fire trick.
It's terrible. Oh, my God. That's terrible.
Hang on a second. I want to go to a couple more calls here. I don't quite understand this one, but I'm going to go to Kurt. Hi, Kurt. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, bitches.
All right. I'm sorry. We're watching this guy knock himself out again. Go ahead, man.
So about a year ago, I was playing basketball with my sons, and my 14-year-old was dunking on an 8-foot rim.
Okay.
And I was playing horse with my 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. And my 14-year-old had one of his front teeth had been previously cracked in half and had a cap on it.
Okay.
And so I hear him start calling out in pain from across the basketball court, and I hear him say, "My tooth came out," really loud. And I go, "Which one, the good one or the bad one?" And he said, "Both." And so the one that had the cap cracked in half, and that came off. And then his other one, he dunked the ball. The net slapped him back in the face and got caught on his good tooth and yanked it straight clean out of his head.
The net did.
On the basketball net pulled his tooth all the way. And have you ever seen the size of a front tooth when it's out of your head?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have.
2 inches long.
Is it really?
Oh, my God, it was so long. It rattled around on the floor for a little bit. We found it. He was freaking out. I was freaking out. We put it in a paper towel, and then I put it in a bottle of water, and I got him to the dentist's office. They had it back in his mouth within, like a half an hour from when it came out. They put a stent on it, and now it's as good as new.
Wow.
That's amazing. You reminded me of something years ago. It was in junior high school. It was in gym class, and the kid goes running to do a layup and, you know, totally screws it up but goes running face forward into the pole.
Yeah.
And you hear cling, and he bit the end of his tongue off.
Oh,
and he turned around, and I'll never forget what the, like, you could see the inside.
Ooh, dude.
Ooh. Of the tongue.
Yeah.
Of the, oh, yeah.
See what that looks like, actually.
It looks sort of like a sponge. You know, Kathy, like a sponge.
Stop it.
Because my brother bit
a
hole
like
in his
sponge.
Tongue.
It looked like a sponge almost on the inside. Yeah.
I can't believe it.
You know, Let me go
I'm going to Martin. Sorry, I'd already hit the button. Hey, Martin, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning, guys. Gadzooks.
What's up, man?
All right. When I was about 12, I was playing my uncle in basketball. I did a layup as he was jumping. I jumped up into him. Yep. He came crashing down onto my head. I chipped his tooth into my head.
Oh, my God.
Oh! So there was a piece of tooth in your head?
Yep. His tooth got stuck into my head.
God almighty.
So the amount
is it still there?
Was pretty interesting. Yeah, I'm still here.
No, he was wondering if the tooth was still there, like a, you know, a bullet they might
leave
in your body.
We can't take it out or else you'll become very slow.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to pull it out yourself, or did you have to go to a doctor to get it removed?
I pulled it out myself, and when I did that, it was just the faucet of blood was just going.
It's the truth, man. Kathy, as you were saying, the amount of blood that gets generated from a mouth injury or a tooth getting snapped or broken.
I'm telling you, the blood was pooling in the bottom of his mouth that I thought the bottom teeth were gone. Like, I couldn't see. And that's how much blood there was.
Yeah.
And here you are. This isn't your scene.
No. Oh, my God, no.
So you just jammed a bunch of paper towels in there and left them there?
And like I said, my neighbors were doctors, and I was like, can you guys please look?
Fortunately, you've been sitting on the supply of Beanie Babies for a long time.
I'm going to go to Fran next. Hey, Fran, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's okay.
What's up, ma'am?
Listening to you guys talk about the teeth, my son, when he was about 6 years old, he's about 13 now, he was on his bicycle, and he ran his face into the front handlebars of the bicycle.
Yeah,
that's a common tale,
It knocked out his four front teeth, and like the guy said before me, those teeth are so long, they're like 2 inches long out of your mouth. So he was a bloody mess, and my wife threw him in the van and took him down, was trying to take him down to Paoli, and she called Paoli, and Paoli said, take him down to CHOP. So she got on 76, and it was bumper-to-bumper traffic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so she started to drive the shoulder, and cars kept cutting her off, thinking, you know, she's just trying to get her out of traffic, you know?
Yeah.
So she called 911 and said, could I just get a police escort so I can, you know, just get my kid to the hospital? And they said, pull over, we're calling an ambulance. So she pulled over. I'm on my way from 202, so I meet her on 76 at the same time the ambulance gets there. When the ambulance sees my son, and he's a bloody mess, you're right, the amount of blood. So they see him, and they say, okay, we're not taking him in an ambulance. This isn't your call. It's ours. We're calling a chopper.
Oh, my God. You go from I'll drive him himself to the helicopter.
Airlifting
him. Wait, for teeth knocked out, though?
Exactly. So, again, when they said to us, it's not your call, it's ours, we were like, okay, good. At least we're not going to get, you know.
Then the helicopter shows up. We're getting a battleship. There's no way.
But they probably looked at him and thought it was like
much worse.
Like my situation, you think it's way worse.
Also,
I would hope a medical professional would take a look and do an actual assessment. But
no.
So anyhow, did the chopper come?
Yes. So they shut down 76
in both directions. Wow.
For miles on rush hour, and the helicopter landed. They put Johnny in the helicopter. Took off, they flew, and the firemen that were there said, okay, we're going to let you and your wife go ahead of the traffic, and then we'll let the traffic go after you. So we made the news that night of my wife and I driving, barreling down 76, trying to get down.
Go ahead, Preston.
Fran, how much did that end up costing you, man?
Oh, my God, the airlift? Yeah. I want to say it was like $60,000, and it was a five-minute trip.
$60,000? You remember, we were talking about this just a couple weeks ago. There's a 50 grand tab for an airlift. Yeah, so. Yeah.
But now, your insurance covered that, Fran, I hope?
It was covered. You know, insurance does what they do, but, it was covered for the most
part. Wow. That's why, honestly, I tell you, if you can make the investment, buy a helicopter.
Buy your own chopper.
Because honestly, in the long run.
All right, thanks, Fran. Now, you remember there was somebody who was looking for assistance in it because their insurance wasn't going to cover it.
Yeah,
it was like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, and there was no way, shape, or form that they could afford it. And a lot of people don't know that. You know, we're calling in AirMed. You just think, look, we got to get to the hospital.
Can you bargain? Can it be a blimp?
Wow. Okay. Well, anyhow, Flash got his teeth knocked out, but
he looks good, man.
Baby teeth, so they were going anyway. Interesting. Thanks for your stories. We appreciate it. We're going to take a break. Be back in a second. Got some B-file stories I think you might be interested in. We'll get to that when we come back.
93.3 WMMR announces the next installment of our series of fan-friendly, private, and free concerts. Wednesday, June 6th, it's Pierre Presents Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats. I'm gonna leave it all out there and drive. Join us for this invitation-only noontime event at Ardmore Music Hall. Son of a bitch! Give me a drink! Win your way in on the air with Pierre or at Ticket Rates. Get details and schedule at WMMR.com. Pierre presents Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats from Ardmore Music Hall and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Thanks, Kath. We made an announcement earlier this morning that the I Bleed for President Steve show, Blood Drive, is on the way, and we have a date for you to save. It's going to be June 16th. It's a Saturday. And once again, we're headed back to Valley Forge Casino Resort Event Center. It's a perfect place for this event. And, no surprise that we're headed back there. So another date to keep in mind, the last date that you can go ahead and make a donation now and still be eligible at our blood drive is Friday, April 20th.
Okay.
So make it that appointment now, and you'll be in the clear to donate when our event comes around. And that is if you're interested in help out. If you want to go ahead and donate another time, that's great, too. But we do have some freebies that we usually have for those who like to donate.
Yeah, a whole bunch of good stuff.
Usually shirts and pint glasses and stuff like that. And we'd love to spend the day with you. And it's from the American Red Cross Blood Services Region and MMR, of course, putting Philly first. So that, again, is June 16th. And the last day that you can donate and be eligible is Friday, April 20th. So a heads up on that. And we're not done with announcements because we have another one coming up at the end of the show when Pierre gets here. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Todd B. Jacobs Personal Injury Law Firm. Get the compensation that you deserve or you don't pay. 267-687-0379, tbjacobslaw.com. Well, a cult claims that it can give followers the power of invisibility if they keep human body parts stolen from graves inside of their mouths.
That's all you have to do?
That's all you have to do.
For invisibility?
For invisibility. Grim footage shows a member of the Filipino sect with human kneecaps, which he claims will give followers superhuman powers.
Suck on these.
Journalist Nikon Celis said that the Iron King group pays grave robbers to snatch bones from cemeteries before preserving them using bleach and coconut oil. These remains are then turned into belts or hidden inside cult members' mouths in the belief that they will hide them from sight. Iron King Blessor and member Angelito Rambo Orieta, who wears the belt night and day,
with kneecaps.
Told Nikon it is found in the Bible, Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. You offer their spirit to God and to wash their sins by means of prayer or oration.
So they specifically spell out sucking on kneecaps makes you invisible in the Bible?
That's what these guys think. The spirit of the body will work.
It's open for interpretation.
I know. As a guardian for you, if you offer them a prayer or oration. I don't know what the hell that is.
I'll tell you what. I've always been fascinated with the concept of invisibility.
Mm-hmm.
I'd suck on a kneecap.
They'll even protect your house and your family, said. If you don't offer any prayers, they'll be the one who puts you in harm's way.
Oh.
Angelito said, holding the grim good luck charm increases the power of your punches when brawling with enemies, too.
It makes you a superhero, basically.
But in the stomach-churning sacrifice, he said the most magical powers are drawn from popping the human body part inside your mouth. He said, sometimes you have to put it inside your mouth, which makes you invisible to your enemy's eye. Or at least they won't notice your presence. These people.
Or maybe they're geniuses and we just can't see it.
The organization...
It's so obvious.
Known locally as Herring Bacall or the Iron King, banded together to combat a Muslim insurgency in the 1970s. Now the group has found a foothold in the primary Catholic nation with roughly 100 members in total, including policemen and soldiers who have reportedly joined for their own safety, despite the group being labeled a cult.
How can you possibly get an accurate count when so many are invisible?
Last month, they grabbed headlines by claiming to grant devotees bulletproof powers.
Oh, my God.
By hacking them with machetes.
little kneecap sucking and some machete hacking, and you are invincible.
Yeah, invisible and bulletproof.
Oh, my God.
Chinese doctors. Maybe I should save it this tomorrow.
Is it really good?
It's a really good one.
Well, your call.
Let's go ahead.
All right.
Chinese doctor successfully removed a 3-foot-long phone cable from a man using laser technology in northeast China. Now, the man, said to be in his 60s, thought of inserting a cable to stop itchiness in his urethra.
Oh, my. Yeah.
That was caused by prostatitis.
So he actually felt his prostate was itchy?
An inflammation of the prostate, yes. However,
so he figured he'd scratch it with a 3-foot telephone wire?
Yeah.
Seems feasible.
However, the cable tied a knot in the
bladder. Tell you what, suck on 2 kneecaps and call me in the morning.
The cable tied a knot in the bladder and caused bleeding when the man tried to pull it out himself.
Otherwise, it should have worked.
He rushed to the hospital and sought medical help. Dr. Zhao Zhenfeng, a urologist at the hospital, noticed the cable.
You got a wire in your pee hole. Oh my God.
Notice that.
What's that about? Is that how you get Ethernet?
It measured 5 millimeters or 0.2 inches wide.
Can I see over here for a second? You got like an Ethernet wire in your pee hole. What's that about?
He had tied a knot.
Scratching my prostate.
And he had noticed it had tied a knot inside the man's bladder under a scan.
Well, I don't know how to tell you this, but it's in a knot now.
The knots get tighter when the patient tried to pull it out, and this caused bleeding in the bladder. They had to use lasers to cut the cable and remove it from his body.
He's probably just used the lasers to cut his head off.
The man told the reporter that he took a lesson from the incident and would not do it again.
All right. More stuff in the pee hole? Yeah. All right. Have a good day.
The reporter asked the man, did you sterilize the cable before putting it in? He said, I just roughly washed it under running water.
Okay.
I washed it. I'm not a doctor.
The doctor said that the patient was lucky for not inserting any metal or hard materials. Otherwise, the bladder could have been impaled by the sharp object.
Went to the AT&T store, picked up my wire. It's good to go.
Yeah.
Wow, that is. Can you? You've had the insertion there? Yes.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Unpleasant.
Unpleasant.
Unpleasant. Why would someone elect to do that?
I don't remember.
Even if your prostate was itchy.
Did you have to get that done for a vasectomy? No.
You were peeing blood, right?
Yeah.
That's what it was?
Yep.
Okie dokie.
Casey,
I have tried to block it out of my memory, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Casey, you got it just so you could become an intern at Y100.
Yes.
It was sort of
it was either that it was or clean the basement. I was like, oh.
All right, stick it in.
All right, and then finally, a man who said that he felt the need to get his genitals out in the air is facing charges of indecent exposure. Damon Holloway expressed this desire on April 3rd after walking into the Chamber of Commerce to use the bathroom. He was forced to leave and then went directly to Olympia Candy Kitchen. And as he was attempting to make a purchase, he walked up to the counter, exposed his genitals to the female employee. Holloway was located and arrested on charge of indecent exposure and disorderly conduct.
This is my penis and testicles. Can I have a Mounds bar?
But he just wanted to, quote, get them out in the air.
Sometimes you need to take them out for a spin.
Yep. You got to do what you got to do, man.
Air out my balls. Right, let me get musty, spring cleaning.
Right, that's what I have for you in the bizarre file this morning. Am I doing this now?
Yeah, because you know what? We have a concert announcement that we're going to do at Music News. So I'd like for you to give this away now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We have a concert announcement?
Yeah.
We have so much stuff going on. It's borderline disgusting.
I love it when that happens. Okay, Free Music Monday, Stone Temple Pilots, a new self-titled album. First released with singer Jeff Gutt, and it's available now from Atlantic Records. Right. And I will take caller number 14 at 215-263-WMMR, and you will see them at MMRBQ 2018. Details at WMMR.com. But caller number 14, you get that right now. Give us a call. We'll be back. And apparently, we have a concert announcement.
Yay!
It's coming up. We'll be right back.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
Happy to be spending our time with you as you are doing what you can to get back into that groove and work through this week. We do have some incentives for you to hang with us because why not, man? We want to be with you, and we want to set you up with some stuff. And one of those things would be $1,000 in cash on multiple occasions. We had an opportunity at 8 o'clock this morning. Next one coming up in less than an hour. Pierre is going to have your next shot at it at 11 a.m. And it's just texting in a word. It's that simple.
That's it.
Qualify. And then if you don't get that, then there's 1, 4, and 6. It happens all throughout the day, every day. And get yourself set for that. Play along if you haven't done it yet. We're going to do a lesson question. We are going to give away, we have some sweet tickets for Casey and Steve at the AAA 400 Drive for Autism Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race on May 6th.
Uh-huh.
So people will be able to come, watch the race, hang out with you guys, which would be very, very cool. So the question that I have for you goes back to earlier this morning. We were talking about Johnny Depp. How much did he think that he made for the crimes of Grindelwald? All right, 215-263-WMMR. How much money did Johnny Depp think that he made from the crimes of Grindelwald movie, the Harry Potter movie? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. All right, let's do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Allstate. With an Allstate agent, you get expert advice and the best coverage for you. Plus, with new lower auto rates, they can help you save. So call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands? What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Kendra Wilkinson officially filing divorce papers to end her 9-year marriage to NFL star Hank Baskett. Kendra says that regardless of their split, they will always have their kids to give them something to fight over.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of divorce, actress and model Brooke Burke is ending her marriage to former Baywatch star David Charvet. Burke says the one bright spot is that thanks to Kendra and Hank, their divorce story was not the lamest one from last week.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Paris Jackson, celebrating her 20th birthday with a massive party at Hyde in West Hollywood, where she was seen openly flirting with Chris Brown. Paris says Brown reminds her of her dad, except that he's black.
Oh.
And that's your Hollywood trash.
All righty. See if you happen to know the answer to this. How much money did Johnny Depp think that he made from the crimes of Grindelwald? 215-263-WMMR. And I will... I'll go to Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yo, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. See you, Mike. All right. How much money did Johnny Depp think that he made for the crimes of Grindelwald?
$50 billion.
$50 billion?
Yeah. He's not good with money.
Nope. Hang on a second, Mike. Going to get your information, and we're going to give you some tickets to join Steve and Casey Boy in a suite at the AAA 400 Drive for Autism Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race on May 6th. Race weekend at Dover International Speedway is May 4th through the 6th. It's 3 days of great racing and so much more. Tickets to the AAA 400 Drive for Autism start at just $50 at DoverSpeedway.com. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
What the f*** is this?
Brought to you this morning by Skull Shaver. Attention, bald guys. Shave your head in less than 90 seconds and say goodbye to nicks, cuts, and scrapes with the all-new Pit Bull from Skull Shaver.
It's true.
Use the promo code BALD at SkullShaver.com for exclusive discounts. Let's see. We'll save the concert announcement for last. How about that? Yeah. We'll begin here. Ghost has shared a new 3-minute video, which is titled Introducing the Cardinal. In the clip, the band's new leader meets an aged Papa Emeritus Zero and Sister Imperator after arriving from behind a door, bade them red light. The new Papa is named Cardinal Copia.
Cardinal Copia.
And apparently isn't a part of the Papa Emeritus bloodline at all.
What about Papa Smurf?
Maybe someday. He apparently sports a thin mustache and has... What in the world is this? It's called heterochromia iridium. Iridium. Yeah. A condition where the iris of one eye is a different color than the iris of the other.
Interesting.
Eye. So that's his little condition.
He's got
thing.
Cratiocoma gribia.
Garbanicin.
Garbanicin.
Ghost also gave a private 3-song acoustic performance on Friday night in Chicago where Cardinal Copia made his live debut, and the band also delivered a live version of Rats, the upcoming first
Rats.
Single from the. I know. Sounds like
Charlie Brown.
Rats.
Just met Cardinal Copia. Rat.
The upcoming first single from
Why don't you kick this football?
the Swedish band's fourth studio LP.
They are
very there you good. Go. The last Papa Emeritus III, was forcibly taken from the stage during final show of the band's Meliora tour cycle last fall.
They've got some heavy duty names.
Yeah, yeah. So we will see. I assume Cardinal Copia is going to be the lead singer while at the MMRBQ.
Yes.
He's the new guy taking over for Papa Emeritus.
And the new character, Franciscan Monkey.
Ah, an actual chimpanzee.
Yeah. Well, it's like Clyde from the Every Which Way But Loose series.
Yeah.
That's an orangutan.
Okay, well, we'll find out when they get here. Speaking of the MMRBQ, Korn frontman Jonathan Davis began his solo tour in support of his forthcoming new album called Black Labyrinth on Friday. He was in Portland, Oregon. His set was weighed heavily in favor of the new LP, along with songs that he wrote for the soundtrack of the 2002 movie Queen of the Damned, and also a cover of Neil Diamond's Love on the Rocks.
What?
Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
He did not perform any material from Korn's catalog, by the way. So
I wonder how that went over with the fans.
I don't know.
Because
you usually want some of that.
You want some of that.
The stuff you know.
Something.
So, MMRBQ, will that include Korn music? I do not know. But it will definitely have his new stuff, and maybe we'll get that Neil Diamond Love on the Rocks, which I would be interested in hearing the cover of that. Green Day frontman Billy Joe Armstrong has now attached music to the images that he posted on Instagram last week, giving fans a preview of what his new project called The Long Shot will sound like. Several fans on Instagram noted that one of the tracks Armstrong posted sounded very similar to Green Day's 1994 commercial breakthrough hit Longview. The singer-guitarist began teasing the new act by sharing the series of Instagram posts with his 1.8 million followers. The posts pointed to the act's private Instagram page, which stated that its debut album, Love is for Losers, is coming eventually, sooner or later, probably sooner. Richie Sambora revealed that he and the members of Bon Jovi have already rehearsed for their Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction performance, set for Friday, by the way, at Cleveland's Public Auditorium.
Will this signal the reconstitution of the band from here on in? Has everyone made nice?
Well, he was asked how it felt to perform with Bon Jovi for the first time in half a decade, a rehearsal, which presumably also included ousted original bassist Alec John Such as well, and explained, "We've played live to millions of people over 31 years. Do I miss it? No. But the memories are good. It feels great to see everybody. We already rehearsed, and it was wonderful. It wasn't awkward." He said the chemistry came back very quickly.
This is Sambora or Such?
This is Sambora, okay. not Such.
Who's now touring with the guy named Bagels? It's a great duo called Bagels and Such.
Yep.
Huge.
I love that. I love that. That's a great idea. She said, "It feels great to see everybody. We already rehearsed and it was wonderful. It wasn't awkward. The chemistry came back very quickly." He said, "It's matrixed into our muscle memory at this point. If you're on the road performing and touring for 30 years, the Rock Hall ceremony is just another cycle, and it's a good one. So here we go."
So I think it means for this, for Friday, not for this tour, but if there are good vibes that come out of it, maybe for the next tour.
Yeah, definitely not this tour. Yeah. I mean, Richie's not going to all of a sudden jump on and start playing.
Right.
I personally don't think he will. I don't think he will at all.
Really?
Yeah, I think that, in fact, he said he doesn't really miss it. So he was pressed
stinks on ice
to whether he'd heard prior to the announcement that 2018 would finally be Bon Jovi's year for induction. He said, "Yeah, there were murmurings that came through about a week before the announcement or so, and I was not trying to get too excited about it because I figured you never know. We've been nominated before. I had kind of put it out of mind because we were looked over by the grand forefathers of the Hall of Fame until this year. But I figured that, you know, one day I'll get in. Maybe I'd be dead, but I'd still get in. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a milestone without a doubt. Like I said, I've tried not to get too excited about it for a long time, but I'm starting to get excited about it. I'm glad that I'm actually alive to get in there," he said. So he said he's looking forward to the night and all the performances.
Have we talked about Pierre in the Hall of Fame? Is that public knowledge? Am I supposed to talk right now?
I don't think so.
Okay.
All right, moving on. I don't know. I have no idea.
We got four thumbs up. Yeah, Bill talked about it last week, but I don't know if it was...
No. Then if there are thumbs up to talk or no?
Yeah, he's going to perform with Bon Jovi. That's so great.
Living on a prayer.
I think he's doing bad
air guitar.
Yeah, he's playing air guitar. Dear God. No, he's going to be broadcasting live from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They have a
cool
studio set up out there. I guess he's going to the induction ceremony. So that'll be really cool.
Yeah, it will
he
be very cool.
He has been before, hasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
When Little River Band got in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Love Little River Band.
Jackson Brown.
They're not it.
Jackson Brown. Jackson Brown.
30 years after scoring her biggest solo hit, Kiss Me Deadly, ooh, Lita Ford is busier than ever, prepping a new single, launching her own guitar line. Nearly a decade after the Runaways split, Ford became a household name when Kiss Me Deadly hit and topped out at number 12 and dominated the airwaves on MTV. She recalled her signature tune. She said, the song had gone through so much. It was originally banned since I said it didn't get laid during the PMRC days. She said, Dee Snider and Frank Zappa fought for the right to say these words since parents were complaining. We had to put sensory stickers on everything. The song Kiss Me Deadly is fun to play, and it's an explosive song live. Ford, who is now 59 and a mother of two, went on to reveal that some new music isn't that far away. She said, we have a single that's a surprise for the fans, which is very cool. It'll be out on the 4th of July.
New song's called Kiss Me, Grandma.
It's a cover tune, and it's going to hit home with a lot of people.
Kiss me once, kiss me twice, come on here and kiss your grandma.
She went on to talk about her new instrument line, Lita Ford Guitars, explaining, I have a company that we just started, and they're amazing. They are handmade guitars from real wood, and it's a copy of the original Runaways guitar from the 1970s. These guitars are the real deal, she says. She's coming out with her own axes.
Does she still live on an island?
No, they sold that place.
Okay.
Yeah, they were in the Bahamas. They had their own island, her and her husband, and from what I understand, yeah, they got rid of that eventually.
I think it had the crap beat out of it by one of the hurricanes.
Yeah.
It's Lita Ford Island. It was right next to the Sebastian Bach Peninsula.
That place rocks.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
That whole area.
You'd figure all those. This is where they all ended up in the Caribbean.
All the aged rock stars. That'd be pretty cool.
Kip Winger.
All right, and then finally, Slash is going to headline the Concert for Conservation at the Greater Los Angeles Zoo Association Beastly Ball on Saturday, May 19th at Los Angeles Zoo. The Guns N' Roses guitarist and longtime zoo patron will be joined by Heart's Nancy Wilson and others. The fundraising event will showcase the zoo's commitment to saving animals from extinction. So he's playing a naked. All right, there you go. That's what I got for you in music news.
Now it has come.
Concert announcement time.
Yeah. I'm nervous.
All right, so this is going to be fun. This show is going to be at Festival Pier. Yes, we're talking about summertime outdoor shows. August 10th. I'll give you the rundown on ticket sales and all that stuff after I tell you who is on board. There's three bands, two big ones. MMR Rocks, 311, and The Offspring.
Oh!
So 311 and The Offspring, and they will have special guests, Gym Class Heroes as
Whoa.
Well.
Yeah.
Pretty solid deal.
This
so
is Nell's favorite band.
That show is coming up on a Friday, August 10th. So a Friday show is always a good thing. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. And there's going to be pre-sale on Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. while supplies last. And the password to use for that is radio. So once again, you have The Offspring and 311 and Gym Class Heroes, Festival Pier, Friday, August 10th. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. Pre-sale Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. while supplies last. Password is radio. How about we give away a pair of tickets right now?
Yeah!
Call number 20 at 215-263-WMMR. Before you can buy them, we'll give you a pair. Call number 20, 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now. Good luck to you, my friend. Be back in just a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Seether. Dreamers. YouTube.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
93.3 WMMR. Pretty Reckless. Back to the River. Melodically, that song reminds me of a tune from Lynyrd Skynyrd called The Ballad of Curtis Lowe.
Yes.
Just melodically. Oh, yeah. Not fully, but it's got that real cool bluesy taste to it. 10:32 with the Preston and Steve Show on MMR. About ready to wrap up our broadcast morning.
See the sun a little bit out there.
Yeah, it's gone back and forth. We had sun at the beginning of the morning, and then those clouds came in, and we got all gray for the majority of the time, and now we're starting to see a little bit more pop back out. But it's mainly going to be a cloudy day today, from what I understand, and maybe some morning showers tomorrow. But then we start to get into this really good trend of warming up by Wednesday, mid-50s, by Thursday, mid-60s, and then Friday will definitely be in the low 70s, which is wonderful.
That'll be fantastic.
And all you need are one or two days like that, and then the trees, the foliage, it all
pops,
comes to life, and then we feel like human beings again, which is wonderful. So anyhow, I would thank our guests. We didn't have any guests on the show today. I did see Pierre Robert as I was out by the copier grabbing some papers, and or wasn't the copier? It was the printer. And I walked by and I just hear friends. You're mumbling about something.
I was going mother effing swill that is passing for coffee in our so-called kitchen.
Why are you slumming it and drinking kitchen coffee today?
Because I didn't get down to Manja to get my better coffee.
Oh.
Well, it'll be coming up, right? They make a delivery every day.
They do. But I usually go down and jump start the process.
Okay.
Ah. And so I didn't do that, figuring that, it's unspeakable. It's just, it's burnt and hideous and everything coffee shouldn't be.
Coffee should spend 6 to 8 hours on the burner for it to be to be just right.
Like aged wine.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
All right. I couldn't tell what you were babbling about, but it was indeed your coffee.
It really.
It's like I am a...
It's the triple P, Pierre's pet peeve.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Burnt All right. coffee or coffee that's so light that it's just coffee-flavored water. Mm. You can tell by putting one creamer in. Either way, you put one creamer into coffee that's too light, not thick enough, and it instantly turns milky. You know that's S, and get rid of it. Similarly or oppositely, if you put one creamer into a burnt piece of crap cup of coffee like this is, which is why where's your Dunkin'? I need your Dunkin'.
Yeah, we'll get it's
down the way.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So we got to get them in there too, because if you put one in and it doesn't even make it bump, if it's blackish and you put one creamer in and it barely moves the dial. You know,
on the color chart.
Yes. Yeah. You know that it's burnt.
It's fusel oil.
It's burnt and it makes me so angry.
All right. This is when all that pista crap goes right out the window.
Yeah. F that.
Yeah. Don't mess with the coffee, yeah. man.
Beat it, creep.
Five dead and coffee murder.
That's the only thing.
Beat it, creep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Move along, sucker. Right.
I want to see Pierre's mugshot.
It would actually be pretty scary. Yeah. You know,
I have a mugshot in the hallway.
Yes.
From some jail that I broadcast from. They did a mugshot forward and sideways. That's the only one I think I have.
Yeah, I've seen it in the hallway before. Hey, I have a question for you. Should we? Let's do the letter of the day, and then we have an announcement.
Okay.
Cool with that? All right, so here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter...
P as in Preston.
Hey, all right, and that's the first letter of a trip that we have to give away. The Word of the Week prize, a trip or two to Vegas to experience Fear the Walking Dead Survival, which is Vegas' newest thrill attraction, including two nights at a hotel,
wow,
airfare, ground transportation in Vegas, and two passes to Fear the Walking Dead thrill attraction. Don't miss AMC Survival Sunday starting at 9 Central, only on, it says 9, 8 Central.
Yeah.
I guess it means 8 Central.
98 Central.
9 here. All right, only on AMC with this historic season finale of The Walking Dead, followed by the premiere of the all-new Fear the Walking Dead, and you must be at least 18 years of age to enter. So, let me see. So, we have an announcement to make.
We do.
Yes, we do. And, Case, if I could get that.
Yes.
We have carbonation and announcements.
We have a carbonation and announcements. You want to do the announcing?
I want you to do it.
All right.
Because you're the leader. You're the dad around here.
MMR is excited, and once again, it's part of our birthday bash, and we are really, really going to crank it up a notch because it's MMR's birthday beer bash.
Beer is good. Beer is good. Beer is good. It's up. Beer is good. Beer is good. Beer is good.
Let's go drink some beer.
All right, so
it's Johnny Mathis.
Yeah, that's right.
What is the MMR birthday beer bash? Well, it is a party that we are going to have, and it will be on a Saturday, thank the Lord.
We just want to party our brains out because it is the 50th, and I love this idea.
Yeah, Saturday, June 23rd at Sugar House Casino, we're having a big beer party. Over 100 beers to sample, plus live music, food, trucks, tailgate, games, and a bunch more for you to participate in. So general admission, 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. with a one-hour VIP session beginning at 1 p.m. So this is a beer festival,
yes,
basically, is what's taking place.
A big mother.
And MMR is all over this. So tickets are on sale this Thursday at 10 a.m. And guess what? We're all going to be there.
Yes.
At least almost all of us are going to be there. The staff is going to be on hand to be a part of MMR's birthday beer bash.
Some of us volunteer their time at CHOP, but the rest of us will be there.
Why, they're saying cheers to 50 years.
I like that.
Pierre, that's the absolute that. Phrase, yes.
Don't give me a beer, bitch!
So, WMMR.com for tickets and information. There's an early bird discount available while supplies last. So, again, we've had several things that you're going to have to write on your calendar.
A tremendous
you
amount.
About the blood drive this morning.
The blood drive, this.
What's the date? I got to write it down. June.
The blood drive is June 16th.
Okay.
So you have plenty. You'll have a chance for your all your blood to reform in your body before,
yes,
you get to the drinking day.
So this is 1 week after. This, yep, is the very next Saturday.
Yeah.
So blood drive on the 16th.
Yep.
Beer party. Cheers to 50 years on the 23rd.
Yep.
Cool.
There's two Saturdays I won't get back. But anyway, no. No, we look forward to them. And especially when it's a celebration, a party, everybody having a great time. This is going to be a blast. So you're welcome to get on board. And like I said, the Thursday, the tickets are going to be on sale at 10 a.m. And there's an early bird discount available while supplies last. So you'll be able to sample a lot of local favorites and
hang with us.
Tons of different beers on tap. And if you don't know too much about beer, these events are great for you,
yes,
because the brewers are more than happy to tell you all about their product and how they make it and what to expect from it and so on and so forth. So
very generous with their pouring.
Yeah, most definitely.
And awesome. I'm sure we'll be broadcasting live from there, whoever's on the air on Saturday,
yeah,
most likely. It makes sense.
I would think so.
Cool.
So there you go.
That's all the
info you need to know.
Marvelous.
What's coming up on the program today, Sal?
We will have birthday bucks at 11 and 1. We will have an MM Archive visit to the vaults to present something that was done on South Street at the old Ripley Music Hall. It was October of 1983. Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Wow.
At the Ripley Music Hall, introduced by John DeBella. Really great little treasure from our archives. We'll have Workforce Blocks of the Clash. We'll have a block of Yes. It was Steve Howe's birthday yesterday. And a Workforce Block of the Foo Fighters.
Nice.
And we'll have Free Music Monday, the new STP album, which I've been listening to, and it's really good.
Nice.
So cool. Awesome.
Yeah, in about 20 minutes, you're doing that word and that text, man.
Indeed.
$1,000. Get set for it. I got to thank our sponsors. President Steve Show brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the President Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Royal Caribbean. This is not the Caribbean. This is the Royal Caribbean or Caribbean.
I love Franklin. A lot of people talk it down, but the Caribbean is...
It's actually a hidden jewel.
It's overlooked in the Caribbean.
So come see.
You guys, you poor bastards can't say one thing wrong without everyone's nope. attention to you. So you look kind of like, let's just let that one go under the rug. Nope. Rick Ribrian.
Also brought to you by Sergeant Scrap. Attention tradesmen, don't take crap for your scrap. Learn more at SergeantScrap.com. That's SGT-Scrap.com. Tomorrow, a little visit from a very good friend of ours, Mark Summers, is going to be stopping
by. Love that.
Yeah.
Haven't seen him in a while.
We'll have a Tattoos Day taking place, and I'm sure we'll scare up a few other things to fill out that program. That is it. We are done. Rage on, and have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
All right, sir. Look, you're working in a store where people are expecting to get in and out pretty quickly. When you got eight people deep in the line, you can't have a conversation with every customer that walks up. I know it's Saturday morning, but some of us are on a dance schedule.
Next message.
Go Flyers. So excited for the playoffs. Beat the Pens.
Next message.
Monday. I just don't want to.
I'm driving in a parking lot. I just want to cry because it's Sunday.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.